on FM Sport.
Good morning, it's Saturday the 30th of January and you're listening to the On FM Football Show live from Hammersmith. We're going to be talking today about all the latest football news. We're going to be discussing what happened in the week of football as well as our usual fun and features. So guys, anyone that picked up the papers today would have seen, well, an interesting headline for anyone. Certainly an interesting headline for me when I looked at the paper, because I just read the first three lines of The Sun and missed out the last one. I just read John Terry's affair with Wayne Bridge and didn't see the misses on the end. So yeah, I just saw John Terry's affair with Wayne Bridge. But obviously anyone that's missed it, the story's come out today. John Terry tried to get a gagging order on this yesterday but failed in the High Court. So I think we're allowed to talk about it. If we're not allowed, we're going to anyway.
Yeah, we'll just make clear that obviously these are allegations made by the Sun newspaper. They're not, nothing's confirmed. John Terry hasn't admitted anything. We're just talking about the allegations that have been made in the paper. That obviously we know John Terry tried to have a gagging order put on. So, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very interesting one. Because John Terry, obviously, he's England captain. He's Chelsea captain. He's a massive name in English football. Him, Wayne Rooney, Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, probably the biggest of the names in English football at the moment. And just on a World Cup year, when everything seems to be going quite well for England, something's come along and thrown a spanner in the works, as it sort of always tends to do. Brenches, you're with us. Brenches is our League One and Two expert, but obviously follows English football very closely. Brenches, firstly, where do you think this leaves Chelsea? I've read a lot saying that Chelsea now have a decision to make on what they do with John Terry. Do you think they've got a decision to make?
I suppose they have, probably for the sake of their fans more than anything. But I think John Terry for Chelsea certainly is probably an indispensable member of their squad. So I'd be surprised if he was kind of moved on or anything. Maybe slap on the wrist or something.
Could they slap him on the wrist for that? Do they have any right to say anything? It's his private life, isn't it? It's nothing to do with his football.
That's what we mentioned that a bit off of air. Is it of anyone's, you know, whose business is it apart from obviously John Terry? It's his private life. So is it Chelsea's business? I don't think it is. I don't think this will affect him being picked as a team captain or being picked today or tomorrow or whenever they play. It's not going to affect John Terry being on the Chelsea team. I don't think it's going to affect the Chelsea team as a team. I don't think it will affect his teammates.
Well, it might affect if they introduce their girlfriends to him.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Maybe they won't be introducing their girlfriends to him anymore. But as regards to what happens on the pitch, I don't think it's going to be a major problem for Chelsea. Or I don't think their fans have much to worry about, to be honest.
So all the title chasers, the Arsenals, the Manchester Uniteds, maybe the Manchester City's out there, not really,
I suppose,
can't be too excited about this.
No, not overly, but I suppose history kind of shows that when these kind of big things happen, these, you know, these tabloid stories come out about footballers' personal lives, it seems at times it can G them up. Frank Lampard's a perfect example of a player over the last few years when the press have given him stick or kind of, you know, veered into his private life and reported on it. He seems to have got better on the pitch. He seems to it brings the most out of him. You kind of want to prove a point, don't you, to anyone who says anything bad towards you. But, you know, I don't see this having a massive effect on Chelsea or on John Terry.
So we think he'll keep the armband then, do we?
At Chelsea, definitely. From what the paper's reporting today, that and obviously this is just, you know, the report in the paper is saying that by all accounts the FA chiefs want him to resign as England captain. But that falls down to Fabio Capello. I think that's one of the major questions, is does this tarnish his reputation enough to take the armband off of him?
Talking about reputations, there was a massive name in sport everywhere. Everyone would know Tiger Woods. Had something similar happen to him earlier this year. Oh, was it earlier this year? Was it the end of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, the end of last year.
The end of last year, Tiger Woods had it was unbelievable, sort of the fall from grace of Tiger Woods. And he lost a lot of endorsements because of that. Brenches, we know John Terry's got a lot of endorsements, Umbro, Nationwide, among others. Do you think it's going to affect his endorsements?
I think it will, because with sponsors, you're always looking for that clean-cut image to sell your product. And I would definitely be. So I mean, Tiger Woods was kind of on a different level, the cheating and stuff. But I think that it's got to affect him, really, affect his endorsements and stuff.
So you think people will drop him?
Yes.
I think a few companies, but I don't think it'll be as major as Tiger Woods, because Tiger Woods is this worldwide superstar. If you went to the States and said John Terry's had an affair on his wife, to your average person on the street, they wouldn't.
Terry? Who's John Terry?
Exactly. They wouldn't have a clue what you were talking about. So, I think one or two maybe smaller companies who endorse him. I don't think he's going to lose his boot sponsorship or anything like that.
The thing about that is, if you look at Kate Moss, when all the things came out about Kate Moss, everyone knows that. There was lots of alleged things with Kate Moss, and she got dropped by a hell of a lot of companies. But then, when you get dropped by these companies, because people love the underdog story so much, it's like, she'll get dropped, and then, you know, 6 months with nothing, and then one company will think, oh, do you know what? Do you know who I'd like to bring back? Let's bring back Kate Moss. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think that's going to happen with Tiger Woods. He'll get dropped, and then some, you know, he's be dropped by Nike. Is he dropped by Nike yet?
I don't think he's anywhere near being dropped by Nike. But not at all. No,
Gillette have dropped him, haven't they? Someone has.
Yeah, I think a few of these companies have, you know, taken him out of the adverts for the moment. Yeah. I think a lot of these will let the dust settle, but you know, it brings it to again is. To us, it's all about the football. I don't think, and it just as Tiger Woods, it's all about the golf. These are sportsmen, and I'm personally not that interested in what John Terry gets up to in his private life. I'm more interested in what he gets up to on the pitch, especially for England. And, you know, same as Tiger Woods, the reason they're in the spotlight is because they're sportsmen. So why can't we focus on the sport?
Well, I suppose this story especially has grabbed the attention because it's his teammate, and that's probably why it's such a big thing. Because it's his teammate, it's really and I suppose Wayne Bridge would have been going to the World Cup. I mean, will they pass to each other?
Who knows? Who knows what's gone on there? Really, there's nothing that says that this story's true. All we know is that he's taken a gagging order out, and, you know, the courts have overturned that. And there's nothing that, you know, who knows what's gone on. We don't know. It may not be the truth, as we said. But it will be interesting. I'm sure it will bring out many a humorous song from the terraces in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I'd love to be... Where are they today? They're at Chelsea, at Burnley today. I'd love to... Here's some of the things that are going on there at Burnley.
There's
going to
be one or two, I'm sure, humorous chants going around the stadiums.
Well, to find out more about John Terry, pick up any paper really today, or just get on the internet. You can find a lot more about this John Terry scandal, I suppose. It's England sex scandal, as the Sun have put it. So yeah, have a read about it and just make your own assumptions. We're just reporting the facts, telling you the alleged facts, what's happened. We obviously don't know the whole truth, and we don't proclaim to know the truth, but it's up for you to decide. You can read the paper for yourself and make your own decisions on that. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can tell us those decisions you've made, maybe, on our Facebook page. If you get on Facebook, just write on our wall, type in the On FM Football Show in your search bar and join our group. We've got, I think, over 120 members now, so we'd like a bit more, though. We'd like to push on to 200... in the near future. If you'd like to email us as well, you can, with our new email address. It's not the old sport email address, it's the new one. It's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. You can email us. We're here with you until 1. And welcome back. This is Matt Dean, and you're listening to the On FM Football Show. It's about 20 past 10 here in Hammersmith, and it's actually quite sunny in the studios. I think all that frost that was settling on the grass might well thaw out by this afternoon, which is good news. That track we've just played was Hot and Cold by Katy Perry, and that was for you, Craig. Well, it's actually for your 16-year-old daughter. Craig requested that track. If you've got any requests, you can email us just like Craig did. The email address is thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. We're here till 1. If you'd like to get in contact with us anytime, our ears are always open, aren't they?
For anyone.
Always open.
Absolutely anyone.
We're a bit light in the studio. We normally got about 7 or 8 of us in the studio, but today we've just got the 3, haven't we?
Yeah, it's the dream team, you know.
It's Brendan Hulk Horgan, Brinches, and myself, just holding the fort, really, aren't we?
Well, it's the A game. We've brought the A team today. We didn't need the reserves. We thought, you know, we'll give them a week off.
Rachel's got a relative's birthday.
Yeah, Chris is once again doing it at his theatre show, which we'll be giving you more details about a bit later on.
Yeah, and
Rob Brennan has tonsillitis, so get well soon, Rob Brennan.
And Sean?
Your guess is as good as mine.
MIA, missing in action. Right, let's talk transfer window. We've got I don't know what the latest count is, but I think we've got, you know, that they do this on Sky, don't they? 2 days, 14 hours, and 3 minutes. And then they've got the seconds counting down as well. So that wasn't an exact count. I don't know how long we've got. But the transfer window is definitely closing on Monday. And I think it's been a pretty boring transfer window. Has it, Brinches?
Yeah, there's not been too many big moves, has there? A few this week.
Yeah,
but not too many to mention. I'm sure something will happen in the next couple of days.
Yeah, Brentius and I were chatting about the big ones that took place this week. I'll just give you a little rundown. Idiger Johnson went to Tottenham. That's a loan to the end of the season, isn't it, Brentius? You were gutted. Well, no, you weren't gutted because you didn't want him at West Ham.
I would have taken him, but I think that the wages would have been pretty expensive. And he's not, if you look at his record, he's not really a goal scorer, which is what we need at the moment.
True.
The likes of Benny McCarthy.
He could have set up a few goals.
Yeah, possibly, but who
he's got
thought?
A good eye for a pass, isn't he? Or whoever you decide to sign, maybe Benny McCarthy.
Possibly.
Chris Smalling, obviously signed for Manchester United, scouted on this very show, wasn't he, Brendan?
He was indeed. I'm not going to, you know, keep on repeating myself, but obviously Sir Alex tuned into the show a good few months back, heard our scout report on Chris Smalling, and just literally after one Premier League start later, he's got the contract at Old Trafford.
But staying at Fulham to the end of the season?
Till the end of the season, yeah, that's right. He was anyone who saw the Carling Cup tie midweek would have seen Chris in the stand signing a few autographs for the Manchester United fans, but he will be down at the Cottage today.
And Kabul and Begovic, we were sort of moving on to rumours. Sorry, Robinho's gone to Santos. We should definitely mention that, because I think that's a strange one. Brendan, do you not think that's a bit of a backward step for old Robinho, going back to Brazil?
Yeah, I also think it's a big backward step for Manchester City's finances. They spent 30-odd million. There's conflicting reports coming out about what exactly is in the deal. The initial reports came out and said that Santos would be paying Robinho's entire wages. I've now heard that they're still trying to strike a deal up about Manchester City maybe paying a large percentage of his wages. It's a strange one, but obviously Robinho wants out of that club. We all know how he kind of orchestrated his exit from Real Madrid to go to Manchester City. Seems to have done the exact same thing. Part of it sounds like Robinho's really not got the effort levels that the Premier League need, and he's looking for an easy time, so he's going back to his homeland of Brazil. I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that the quality of football in Brazil isn't hard, but it just seems the easy option. He can go and relax in the sun with his family, stay out of the spotlight in Europe, so to speak, and take his wages.
I think that on the flip side of that, he wants to be playing, and he isn't really playing at Manchester City. And he wants to be in the World Cup squad. I mean, he's not one of those players who Brazil can do without. They've got so many players in that kind of position. So going back to Brazil, like we had the Brazilian fans last week on the show, on Wagwatch, and they're all massive fans of Santos or whoever. So that he's going to be a massive star in Brazil. And if he can perform for Santos, then you'd have thought he'd be straight in the squad.
You'd think so, but then Ronaldo, as in, you know, not Cristiano Ronaldo, but the famous Brazilian Ronaldo, who we all know put on a few pounds. He went back there, was it with Corinthians, and won the league and became a star again, but it didn't get him back into the Brazil squad. I think, is it Dunga is going to look at attitude a lot more than anything else with something like that. And I feel if he gets his form going in Brazil, he'll definitely be in the squad. But as you said, there's so many players in that position that can take that role. It's going to be tough end to get in that squad. But seeing as we're talking about Manchester City, I thought I'd throw in on the transfer rumours that it's also out today that Benjani is discussing a £1.5 million move to Sunderland. which would be interesting, especially considering obviously there's a bit of rumours doing the rounds that Kenwyn Jones is after an awful lot of money. So maybe that could be a replacement. Maybe we could see Kenwyn Jones leaving in the window.
Possibly 1.5 million, quite a good snip, I think, Benjani.
I think that'd be good value for money, yeah. I think that would. I think he's not going to get you 20 goals a season, but he's definitely going to be around the double figures.
And he's a hard worker as well, isn't he, old Benjani?
He is indeed.
Right, let's move on to Portsmouth. Rumours are that Kabul and Begovic are heading to Spurs, although Brinch has now told me that it looks like Begovic might be going to Stoke, or Stoke are interested in him. David James also linked with Stoke, but you'd assume that it'll be one or the other. It looks like Sorensen's not going to sign a new contract with Stoke and going to leave for free, doesn't it, this summer? So Portsmouth, let's just talk Portsmouth. We don't want to talk about Portsmouth too much because we do tend to have a lot about their finances on this show because it comes up quite a lot. So Kabul going back to Spurs, that'd be a weird one. Do you not think, Brendan, Kabul going back to Spurs?
No, I don't think it would. When Harry Redknapp's involved, don't count out anything. I think I saw that on Thursday during the sports show, and straight away I just thought Harry Redknapp, once again, after selling a player, he's now bringing him back. Part of me wants to be controversial and...
Go on.
Well, Harry's a dodgy dealer, isn't he? In my opinion, not an opinion of OnFM, but, you know, he's been accused of a lot of things. Once again, he's buying a player which he's sold. It's dealing with the same kind of group of players, possibly the same agents. What's going on there, you know? I always find question marks over something like that, especially when it's a player the club have previously sold.
It seems to me Tottenham need to realise that there's this thing called the loan system.
Yeah.
And sometimes what you can do is, like, listen, Harry, if you're listening, you can loan people out to other clubs and then they come back. You don't actually have to sell them. You don't have to sell them and then buy them back. You can loan them if you want to. But he obviously just likes just doing the deal, then getting them back, obviously. And Begovic, he's sort of come from nowhere, hasn't he, old Asmir Begovic? Brinchers, have you seen a bit of Begovic?
I watched him, actually, at the week, midweek against West Ham.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant.
He made some good saves.
Yeah, he did. There were a few chances that I just thought, how did he miss that? But really, it was how did he save it? He was very good. Personally, I'd think I'd rather James if I was in Stoke's position.
Yeah, but I suppose you'd rather David James, but in 2 years' time, you're not going to want to have David James, are you? You'd rather have Begovic.
We never know how long David James is going to go on for. If he can stay injury-free, which I know he hasn't this season, there's every chance that he could go on playing past 40.
It's true. Begovic, to go to Spurs, though, why would you want to go to Spurs with... You've got Gomez?
Well, the fact is, as well, that he's played for two teams already this season, which means he can't actually play for another team this season. So if he does move, then he's not going to get any first team football, which would be a strange one as well.
And you mentioned West Ham earlier, played Portsmouth midweek. Where the West Ham transfers, you're a West Ham fan, Brenchers. Who would you like them to sign? Who do you think they're going to sign?
I think we're going to sign Benny McCarthy, and I'd be very happy with that. We do need another striker. Linked with Beattie and James Beattie, and we were linked with Benjani, but I think that's dead and buried now. I wouldn't mind
Beattie.
So
three Bs, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Benny, Benjani and Beattie.
That, you know, if those three played together and scored a lot of goals, that would be the headline, wouldn't it? Three Bs.
Yeah.
And in sort of moving down into the Championship, Newcastle looking to get Victor Moses. We're going to be talking about... don't worry, Crystal Palace fans. You'll be pleased to know we're going to be talking about you later. But it looks like Newcastle after Victor Moses. They've signed Fitz Hall, a place where our local club, Queen's Park Rangers... One size fits all. That's a joke that he made. They've signed Fitz Hall until the end of the season. And Van Aanholt from Chelsea on a one-month loan. What's the point in doing a one-month loan?
I think it's because he's so young. He's just a kid. I think he's only 17, 18 years of age. They've obviously scouted him at the lower levels, probably in the youth team. And they're seeing if he does have what it takes to get into the first team. I think that's, especially with the one-month loan, basically it's... They're not going to jump straight into the first team. They're going to bring them in for the initial month. If they think they're good enough, I think there's... deals like that, there's got to be an option to extend the loan. They're bound to have something like that in place.
And a good signing for Leeds. Brenchers and I were both saying that Leeds have made a great signing today. Gary McSheffrey gone to Leeds. So great signing for Leeds. Very quickly, guys, as we said, a couple of days to go. Do you see, who do you see coming in for some clubs, and who do you see maybe moving out of the Premier League?
I think, from a local perspective, from what I understand, Stefano Okaka has actually had a medical at Fulham yesterday. Obviously, this is rumourville, it's not confirmed. So I'd say in the next week, you'll see Okaka signing up for Fulham on loan. And also, I can't see the transfer window closing without Manchester City spending a few quid.
So Manchester City spend a few quid and maybe a little bit more transfer for Fulham. Well, if you've got any transfer gossip, any rumours, we'd love to hear them here at OnFM. So get in contact with us. The email address is thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk, or you can go on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, surely everyone's on Facebook these days. You can go on Facebook, type in OnFM Football Show, right on our wall. We'd love to hear from you. Any gossip. We're going to be talking more football news and much more coming straight up after this.
Great music, great city. This is London 101.4 on FM.
Not UK.
101.4 on FM Sport.
This is Matt Dean and welcome back. You are listening to the On FM Football Show, where once again we are just being showered with sunshine in our lovely studios here. It is about 10:35, so we've only done half an hour. We've still got 2.5 hours to go. 2.5 hours of fun-filled frolics. Do you like that, Adam?
Absolutely brilliant. And the sun is shining. It's a lovely day. So anyone making their way to the football, enjoy your walk in.
Yeah, I'd have my headphones in. I'd be listening to this show. Yeah, I'd have my headphones in, I'd be listening to this show, I'd be walking to the game, I'd see the sunshine, I think, what a lovely day, football.
And not only that, once, you know, I got a break, and not a break, but once I really got into listening to the show, I'd pull out my BlackBerry, or I might even head into an internet cafe shop, and I'd email in the show.
And if I was going to do that, I'd email thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. And you can send us anything, you can literally say anything to us, we really don't, well, you know, let's not get X-rated on the show. It's a family show. But anything you want to say, football-related, the better. That would be fantastic. Right, Rachel Wood. Not in today. She's out and about doing her own thing. I think she's got a family birthday. So hello, Rachel. I'm sure she's listening. And hope you're having a wonderful day in the sunshine, enjoying it. But she has done Wagwatch for us. She's very professional, old Rachel, isn't she? She's done Wagwatch. So let's see the ladies that Rachel has interviewed this week.
You're obviously from this kind of area, so who do you support?
West Ham.
Did your kind of family support them?
I do. And my husband, my dad, my son, my daughter, mum, brother.
So your children basically were forced to kind of really to support
we
West Ham.
Them, yeah.
They have the cute little kind of outfits when they were kids.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah, my dad had me in 1980, was it 1980 or 1981? And they won the FA Cup. He had me down there lining up at Upton Park for 3 or 4 hours to get my picture done. Which now sits in my mum's kitchen.
Okay, so yeah, it's the pride of the house.
Yes.
Can you name me one player currently in the West Ham setup?
No.
But you'd kind of, you'd watch them if they were in another FA Cup final on TV.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You're a woman that likes football.
I'm a woman that follows football by default, because if I didn't, we'd have nothing to talk about.
And so obviously you're a Stoke fan then?
Yes, have to be. And my dad's a Leeds fan, so just decided that Stoke and Leeds are going to be in the FA Cup final, so there'll be a huge rivalry going on for the next few weeks.
In terms of footballing knowledge, does it extend beyond Stoke?
My family are all football obsessed, so it's been 25 years of being dragged to football matches at various levels, from kiddie football all the way up. So yes, it's kind of in the blood, so to speak.
And what particular Stoke player do you like? I mean, they've got some... I mean, I like Everington, actually. I like Matt Everington. I think he's a great player.
As a footballer? Or to look at?
No, really just as a footballer, but, you know, fair enough.
Oh, goodness.
I really like Liam Lawrence, but he's not playing at the moment, he's not playing very well, so I wouldn't tip him stardom.
Ricardo Fuller, I mean, he obviously scored the 2 goals today.
He did, but we're not big fans of Fuller in our house. So I need to go with the majority in our house and go for whoever is playing instead of Fuller, generally.
And where do you think Stoke will finish this season?
I think they'll finish around 10th or 11th where they are at the moment. I can't see them going any higher, sorry. But I think they'll be safe this year, hopefully.
So and do you honestly watch every game?
No, I don't. I go and shop while he goes to the games, and I have peace and quiet, and I can get on with doing things that are far more interesting. Sorry, football fans.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Get on with doing things far more interesting. Sorry, football fans. How dare she? Where does Rachel find these women?
To be fair to her, at least she did kind of support the team that her boyfriend or husband supported. She followed them, but... And I suppose it was more as a gesture than anything to her partner. But she did support them. She wasn't completely ignorant of it all. So,
okay.
Could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse. Well, Rachel, once again, thank you very much for doing your WAG watch. It's always very interesting to see what the ladies are thinking about the world of football and what's going on. Because we give our opinion, but it's nice to know what the ladies think. Because ladies do like football. I hope you don't think this is us sort of putting down women, saying they don't like football, because we are appreciating that women have a voice in football, and I know some women who are very, very knowledgeable about football, some much more than me.
My sister is massively knowledgeable about football. Maybe just in case she's listening, I'm not going to say she knows more than me, but she does know an awful lot about football, my sister. She's a big Arsenal fan.
Yeah, well, we've actually had an email from a lady from Twickenham.
I thought you were going to say from my sister.
No, yeah, from your sister. And she says, at the weekend, Brendan likes to dress as... No, that's not true. You were worried. He was worried. He was like, oh, it's Alex Reid all over again. Congratulations to Alex Reid, who won Big Brother, by the way, last night. But we'll talk about Big Brother later, because obviously it's football. Vinnie Jones was in there. And we'll get on to that later. Yeah, the email from Hannah in Twickenham. Hannah said she loves Rachel's WAG watch, and she thinks she could show the boys a thing or two. When's Rachel going to come to Twickenham? So maybe Rachel needs to get to Twickenham and interview Hannah, because Hannah thinks she knows a thing or two.
Well, Hannah, if you the email's there, send us in another email. Maybe throw us a few questions. We're not too bad with the old knowledge, us three. So maybe if Hannah wants to email in again, maybe we can prove that we're not bad either.
Yeah, or if you're on Facebook, Hannah, get on Facebook, type in the OnFM Football Show, and write on our wall. You can get in contact with us anytime, day or night, 24/7, just purely by logging in to Facebook. Right, it was a great week for football this week. I loved this week, because, you know, you work during the week, you get home, and sometimes you do think, oh, I wonder what's on telly tonight, or I wonder what I can do tonight, which is going to relax me. And every night this week, well, nearly every night this week, especially Wednesday, I just thought, oh, a great game on tonight. And Manchester United, Man City did not disappoint, did it? Did you watch it, Brendan, and did you enjoy it?
I'll be completely honest with you. I watched the first half, and
the worst half of the two.
Yeah, and I caught the last 10 minutes, because I actually went and decided at half time of that game that I was going to try and find a dodgy internet feed to watch the second half of the Arsenal game. So yeah, eyes wide. Yeah, I found a feed. I'm not going to say where, but I found a feed, and I watched the second half of the Arsenal game. I managed to catch Rooney's last minute goal, because obviously the time difference between the two games, so I saw the winner, but I didn't see the majority of that second half. No.
Well, for you and anyone else that missed it out there, it was a massive game this Wednesday. It was the second leg of the Carling Cup semi-final, Manchester United versus Manchester City. Obviously a massive local rivalry. The flames had been stoked up massively by Carlos Tevez the week before, scoring twice when Manchester City beat Manchester United 2-1. So that was that's basically the intro to the game. This week, it was Manchester United at home. Old Trafford had to get the win against City to go through into the Carling Cup final to face Aston Villa, and they did it. They scored in the last, well, what was it, Brent, just 2 minutes into injury time?
Yeah. Funnily enough, I switched on with 5 minutes to go.
Oh, don't say you were getting a dodgy feed as well.
Expecting to see extra time, and just switched on, and then Rooney scored. I was so disappointed.
It is disappointing, isn't it? When you're neutral and you're really looking forward to extra time, it's like, oh?
Yeah.
Not only that, from an Arsenal perspective, I was really hoping United would have to play, another half an hour, get them nice and tired.
That's with Arsenal playing United tomorrow.
Exactly. So Yeah, I was hoping. Everyone hopes for extra time, especially the neutral, definitely.
Yeah, and then hopes also for penalties, definitely. So, yeah, so United, they won the game.
As predicted last week by myself and yourself, Matt, everyone else in the studio, they got carried away, didn't they?
They
with
did,
the whole
they
Tevez
did.
Talk, but not me and Matt. We said straight off, we said, don't count United out.
Yeah, you never write United off. Some may call us boring, Brendan, but we're never often wrong, are we?
Never often wrong.
Right, the game was slightly overshadowed, I thought, by the coin being thrown at Craig Bellamy. Craig Bellamy, ex-West Ham player, Brenches. What did you think about that?
I thought it was disgraceful. Someone throwing a bottle of beer at him, if I'm being honest. Total waste of cider. But no, I mean, it is shocking, isn't it, really? West Ham have done it before. I remember Mateo Kesman being hit on the head with a coin from West Ham fans. And it's not good. I don't really know why they picked on Bellamy either.
Well, because nobody likes Craig Bellamy. But still, even with that said, I must put in, I've been waiting to say this since Wednesday, that, now I'm not having a go here, I am sort of having a go at the Sky commentator. Don't know who it was. It wasn't Martin Tyler, it was the other guy who commentates on the games for Sky. Basically, it was his sort of attitude. When Craig Bellamy got hit with a coin, it was a coin right on the back of the head, which, by the way, must have really hurt. That's a really hurt. Hit him on the back of the head. He said he sort of got more. I mean, I know it's hard not to, but he got really more up for it. And he said, "Oh, it's really hotting up on and off the pitch here," as if it was a selling point. And I thought, you know, it's not going to discourage people to do things like that if you use it as a selling point for a game. Do you agree, Brinches?
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to see what sanctions the FA bring against Manchester United as well. I don't know if they'll find the team or what, because I know West Ham got done quite.
Weren't Arsenal fined earlier on this season for the fake camera that was thrown during the Manchester United game?
Yeah.
Or was that was last season, was it? No, that was the Chelsea game, excuse me. The Chelsea game at the Emirates where a fake camera, I think, was thrown at Frank Lampard, was it? And Arsenal were fined for that. So it will be interesting to see what kind of actions taken against Manchester United. But in my opinion, it's an absolute disgrace. Whoever threw the coin should be banned for life. Actually, if you saw the footage, there was Manchester United fans in the front first few rows who were getting pelted with stuff as well and were covering their heads.
Yeah.
So it's disgusting.
It is disgusting. I think as soon the media really need to stop using it as a selling point for games, because they might not do it intentionally, but they definitely do use it as a selling point. And it's not right. It's not a selling point. It's an awful thing in football that needs to be stamped out. No player should go on a pitch with threats for their safety, maybe from the other team tackling them, but that's it. There shouldn't be any threat of the fans at all. Very quickly, it is Manchester United who won the game, playing against Aston Villa in the final. Which way do you see that going, Brenches?
I think it's got to be Manchester United. I mean, Villa are a very good team. They're improving, but you saw last year that they struggled a lot after the new year. And it's kind of going that way already this year. They've kind of got a smallish squad. I can see Manchester United beating them. I mean, they had, when they beat Spurs in the Carling Cup final, that was a pretty good game, actually, and they took them quite far. But I think Man U should have a strong enough team out to win.
Yeah, and you, Brendan, which way do you think it's going to go?
It's an interesting one. It is going to be a really good final. I think you have to go with Manchester United, but it's going to be tight. It's going to be very tight. I think it's going to be an end-to-end game. To be honest, the Carling Cup final the last few years has been quite an exciting game, so Villa are going to be up for it because it's probably the only chance, really, of them winning the trophy this year. So I think Villa will definitely be up for it, and it's going to be a fantastic game. And for once, it's going to be covered on national television. The BBC have the rights this year, so it's not going to be overshadowed by or just hidden away on Sky Sports 3. Everyone in the country is going to be able to watch it for free.
And why wouldn't you watch it? It's going to be a fantastic game. I'm going to go for an extra time Manchester United winning that game. Well, if you're a fan of either of the clubs and you've got an opinion, please get in contact with us. It's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. You can get in contact with us anytime. If you'd like to meet us. Now, yeah, that's right. I said it. Meet us. Not just get in contact with us. Meet us. Get some autographs, some signed pictures. If you just like to touch me. I know, ladies, I know what you're thinking. If you'd just like to touch my hand, you will have the chance next. Brendan, you really wanted to say something, didn't you?
I was going to, but I held back. I held back. But he does have lovely hands.
Do you know, I always wanted to be a hand model. Next Friday at O'Riordan's in Brentford High Street. It's a pub called O'Riordan's in Brentford High Street. It's the 5th of February, which is next Friday. It starts at 9 p.m. till late. There's a massive charity night going on there. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. There's a live band called Acoustra who are going to be playing, and it's all in aid of the Milford Hospice in County Limerick. So it's all for a good cause. We're going to be down there supporting it. You should come down too. Enjoy the fun. I'm sure the ale's going to be flowing, and we're all going to be having a great time. So please come down and enjoy us. Coming up for you still today, we've got a little bit of live music coming up. We're going to be talking more football news, and we've got Izad Amer. I wonder who that's going to go to this week.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. This is Matt Dean. I'm here with Brendan Hulk Horgan and Brenches, our League One and Two expert. It is 10 to 11 on Saturday morning, a very sunny Saturday morning here in Hammersmith, the lovely Hammersmith. Whatever you're doing today, guys, I hope you're having a great day. You can get in contact with us. It's the football show at onfmradio.co.uk. Or if you've got maybe an iPhone or a BlackBerry, or you're sitting in front of your laptop, you can get on Facebook and write on our wall. Brenches, stop playing with those headphones. God, he's like a child, Brendan.
Unbelievable.
Sitting next to
him. Unbelievable.
Just twiddling with his headphones, isn't he? Right, we've got a member of our team called Andy Statt, Mr. Andrew Statt. He sends us in some little gems every week. If you haven't heard about Andy Statt yet, he's basically just a guy that sits at home. He loves football. He just sits, eats, drinks, sleeps football. He's one of these people that goes on the internet and does his Tesco shopping so he doesn't have to leave the house and miss a game.
I've actually heard as well he's got like 13 TV screens in his living room so he can watch all the games.
Where's he get his money? I thought he was on benefits.
I really don't know, but he's not on benefits now. He's got plenty of money to buy the old screens to watch the football, and he's got feeds coming from all around the world.
Well, Andy Statt, he's a knowledgeable man. And every week he's going to send us in more than one question. He's going to send us in quite a few questions for us to ask. So let's see the first little question Andy Statt's got for us this week.
Hello again, guys. Andy here. I thought I'd start you off with an easy question because there's plenty more to come from me today. So, the FA Cup's been going on recently, you might have noticed. I was wondering if you could tell me, before the FA Cup final left Wembley for the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, in which city was that prestigious game last played outside of the capital?
Interesting question, Andy Statt. So, the last time the Cup final was played outside of the capital?
And not including...
Not in Cardiff.
Cardiff.
Ooh. I don't know that one. Do you know, Brinches?
Not 100%.
I want to say, like, Old Trafford or Villa Park or something.
That would be the only guess I'd have, Old Trafford.
But you know the answer, don't you?
I don't know the answer, no.
Oh, any guesses then?
Old Trafford?
Ooh, good one. Well, we'll find out the answer later, because we're going to talk Crystal Palace now. If you know the answer, an easy way to get in contact with us straight away is to get on our Facebook page. I know I say it every week, but you can just write on our wall. If you get on the On FM Football Show Facebook page, write on the wall. It's take you 2 seconds. It's very quick, and you can get in contact with us. I've got my laptop on in front of me, got the Facebook page up. I can see it straight away. If you wrote on now, I could read it out in about 2 minutes. It's a great way to get in contact with us, guys. So Crystal Palace this week, gone into administration. Sad news for really a club who have just a classic football club, Crystal Palace. I like Crystal Palace a lot. I remember the days when they were in the Premier League. I used to go quite a lot, mainly because it was easy to get tickets. Shock. But Crystal Palace into administration. Firstly, Brinches, what do you think this means for their season? Because they're not doing too badly.
Well, they weren't doing too badly until the 10-point deduction. Now they're going to struggle a lot. I think I said it on the sports show on Thursday. If they sell, apparently they've got to sell 2 or 3 players. And at the weekend or midweek, they could only put 3 players on the bench. So they're going to be down to the bare bones.
And they also refuse to play Victor Moses or put Victor Moses on the bench because obviously they're relying on cashing in on the sale of him. But, unbelievable. They were challenging for playoffs. Now they're fighting for to avoid relegation. It'd be interesting to see how their form goes now that they've gone into administration. They weren't getting paid previously to this... maybe there won't be a massive change to their form. Obviously, they've got Peterborough today, which isn't the easiest of games, but considering, you know, where the position they're in, Peterborough are rock bottom of the league, but now all of a sudden that's turned into a bit of a six-pointer relegation clash, isn't it?
How frustrating for the players. I mean, really frustrating to sort of work hard under hard circumstances and get yourself there or thereabouts as far as getting sneaking a place in the playoffs, and just to have that taken away. I'm not a fan of this 10-point deduction for administration. Are you, Brinches?
I am. I think it's the only problem with it I see is that the fans are really the ones that get penalised more than the owners. But you have to do something for to punish the owners, because they're the ones who they've obviously spent money that's not theirs or whatever else. And I don't really know, because a lot of teams have gone that way, haven't they? Really, you look at Leeds, Luton, going out of league football with a 30-point deduction.
Southampton,
and Leicester as well.
This is random, but if you own a house and you can't make the payments on your house, does your house get taken off you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
there you go. Then take the football club off them.
But then that's where it comes down to the fans, and that there has been that point made earlier on in the week about Portsmouth. Portsmouth may disappear. Could they disappear? You'd hope the government would step in for massive, you know, for cult things for teams as big as that.
They shouldn't. Government shouldn't have to step in.
I agree they shouldn't have to, but that's when it comes down to, you know, who's running these football clubs. And it's also when it comes down to the rules of running football clubs. I think there has to be a rule in place which says that, you know, teams have to make a profit. Obviously, I know UEFA and FIFA are trying to introduce these rules, but it's the right thing to do. Otherwise, it's going to end up being the fans who pay.
If they took the football club off the owner... If they just took them off the owner and said, right, we're going to auction off this football club now.
Well, that's basically what happened at West Ham.
Yeah, and you'll get whatever profits come out, you'll get whatever the money was for the sale. If you lose 30 million on it, that's your fault. You should have got them into administration. Surely taking points off has now made Crystal Palace would have earned so much money if they'd have got promoted to the Premier League. It just puts them further back. So now they're not going to have no chance of getting in the Premiership where they can make money. To me, it just seems like, what's the point in taking points off them? No point. No point whatsoever.
Yeah, but then, again, if you don't take points off them, then it kind of... As teams around you and teams in the same league, and if you're trying to stay self-sufficient and trying to run your football club well, then just taking the club off the owners and not punishing them with points deductions, it doesn't send the right message out to them.
There has to be some kind of action taken as they've said. I mean, you could argue then, if that's going to happen by clubs who make X amount of profit, why don't you give them an extra 10 points at the end of the season because they made profit? You could argue that it's a tough one, but there has to be some kind of deduction. I think it's a hard one because you just feel sorry for the fans. You feel sorry for these fans who pay their money each week to go and see their club, and for whatever reason, one week we're fighting for promotion and then the next week we're fighting relegation because of the way that the club's been run by the board. It's sad.
Well, Crystal Palace are someone that definitely fall into this category of you've had a mayor. We do it every week. We pick someone who's had a mayor, and I don't think we even need to talk about it this week. Do we need to talk about it? Guy, do we need to talk about it, Brinches?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think we do. I think we should just basically say there's one person this week. Well, there's two people who've had a mayor. But we're going to have to say that the person who's had a mare this week is John Terry. So, John Terry, you have had a right mare, son. John Terry, it's had to go to you, I'm afraid. I mean, Wayne Bridge was up there, but John Terry, you've tipped the scales, mate. You've definitely got it. If you've got any opinions on anyone you think had a mare, or anything else about Crystal Palace's administration, or about, we haven't talked about this weekend's Premier League games yet. We are going to, so you can get in contact with us if you've got any opinions on that, or if you're going to any games. At the football show at onfmradio.co.uk, or as I keep saying, get on our Facebook page and write on our wall. We will be previewing the Premier League games in about, I'd say, 3 minutes' time. Stay tuned. This is Matt Dean and you're listening to the On FM Football Show, where we've just done an hour. We've still got 2 hours to go. We're here till 1 p.m. today. It's 11 o'clock and it's the 30th of January. Go on, I'm going to do it again. Nearly February, guys. Unbelievable, isn't it, Brendan?
Unbelievable. I can't believe it's nearly February and it's the end of January. I mean, what's going on?
Next month, it's going to be nearly March. Right, let's talk Premier League. Premier League fixtures today, while I find my newspaper. The Premier League fixtures today, let me just tell you. We have Birmingham playing at home against Tottenham. Burnley take on Chelsea at Turf Moor. Our local side, Fulham, have a tough test against Martin O'Neill's Aston Villa. Hull City in a very much relegation scrap against Wolves. Liverpool will be looking to get a win against Owen Coyle's Bolton side. Brinch's West Ham, you're taking on Blackburn today. Wigan are at home against Everton. And tomorrow, the big game's tomorrow, of course, the 4 o'clock kickoff, Arsenal versus Manchester United at the Emirates Stadium. Moneybags, Manchester City take on Portsmouth. Oh, basically rich against poor, that one, isn't it? Manchester City, Portsmouth. And Sunderland versus Stoke is your last game of the weekend. Right, let's talk tomorrow. We've got to talk about it. We've got to preview this game. It's a massive game. Fergie building it as the biggest game of Manchester United's season. I think everybody knows it's probably going to be the biggest game of Arsenal season. Arsenal versus Manchester United is the 4 o'clock kickoff tomorrow. Brinches, we'll talk to you first, because I know Brendan wants to talk about it because he's an Arsenal fan, as I am. We both want to talk about it. But Brinches, you're impartial. You don't support Arsenal. You don't support Manchester United. Who do you think is going to win this game?
I think that home advantage gives it slightly to Arsenal. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw. I think that's what I'd say it will be. I think Man U are, don't know, getting back into it a little bit. A great result at the weekend, obviously. Their fans will certainly be up for it. I think that they'll maybe 0-0, 1-0, something like that.
0-0, 1-0. I hope it's not a 0-0. It'd be boring, wouldn't it? Come on then, Brendan. What do you think? You're an Arsenal fan. Obviously, massive game. For anyone that doesn't know, Arsenal taking on Manchester United at the Emirates Stadium tomorrow. It's second play third in the Premier League. Very big game for both clubs, looking to gain ground on Chelsea and win the championship this year. Arsenal, Manchester United, where do you stand, Brendan? Who do you think is going to win?
Well, I'll start with just a few facts from the game so we can kind of start our analysis. But Nicholas Bentner may feature for the first time in 3 months. He came on off the bench against Aston Villa midweek to make his comeback from injury. Thomas Vermaelen is out through injury. Rio Ferdinand, as we all know, on Thursday got a four-match ban, so Rio Ferdinand is out, so Vidic is due to play. Then you got stats like, apart from the Champions League semi-final last year, Manchester United have never actually won at the Emirates Stadium. As Dave said, home form does count for a lot, so I think advantage has to be slightly, only just, due to the home game in Arsenal's corner. Sol Campbell's due to replace Thomas
Vermaelen. I wanted to ask
Vermaelen.
You that. How did you think he looked last week, Sol Campbell?
I don't think he looked out of sorts. For a player who had only played one game, which was in August, he didn't look that far off the pace. He looked very good against Villa when he actually came on. He didn't put a foot wrong, apart from maybe you could say that the foul against Richard Dunn was a clear foul. And he was kind of outpaced there. But I think he hasn't looked out of touch. He's looked better in the two games than Mikel Silvestre and Philip Senderos did in the whole of the Carling Cup campaign. And that's after just two games in the whole season. So he hasn't blown the world away, but he hasn't made any major mistakes. So far, so good for someone of his age. You know, free transfer as well, that was. It's an interesting one. United obviously coming off the back of a really good win against Manchester City. That's going to give them a confidence boost.
Come on, where are you putting your money? You're an Arsenal fan, as am I. But do you think they can honestly do it? Do you think they can beat United tomorrow?
I think Arsenal can beat United, but whether or not they will beat United is another question.
Get off the fence.
Right, I'm going to have to go with. I think it's going to be a draw. I don't think. I think there's going to be goals scored. So I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. Obviously, hopefully, I'd like to see Arsenal get the result, being an Arsenal fan, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think that there's going to be a draw down at the Emirates at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
So you're both going for draws. Well, you know that I'm very pessimistic when it comes to Arsenal, but I think they're going to win tomorrow. I took it upon myself to predict Arsenal's next four games. This was before the Aston Villa game. I thought they'd lose against Villa. They drew, so good. I thought they'd beat United. I think they'll get a draw against Chelsea and beat Liverpool. So there you go. I thought Villa would be the only game they'd stumble on, but they got a draw there. So if they carry on with the way I think they're going to go, that would be a fantastic little run for Arsenal.
It will be, especially considering Chelsea don't have the toughest of fixtures. Obviously, they're away to Burnley today. It's the late kickoff. So you'd presume with the type of squad that Chelsea will put out tonight that they'll be the ones you have to catch up with, really, for the top of the Premier League. Obviously, Arsenal have got massive fixtures coming up, but
it's set to be a massive game, isn't it? It's going to be reliving the old days. I think the good old days of Arsenal Manchester United, where it was all on the line, and I think it could be a tasty one.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, the verbals are back on between Sir Alex and
although there's
Arsene
a lot more respect
Wenger.
Now, isn't there?
There is a lot more respect, but you know, this week, because it's the first time in a long time the game's actually really meant something. You know, obviously earlier on in the season, the Old Trafford game did mean a lot, but now, especially with the league standings, so it seems to be hotting up a little bit between the two.
Well, from the top of the table down to the bottom of the table, we're not biased. We don't just talk about the big teams on this show. Hull versus Wolves is a 3 o'clock kickoff today. It's a massive, massive game for both clubs. Let me just tell you the team news. It looks like Amir Zaki, who is signed for Hull, isn't going to be fit enough to start. He's got a hamstring injury. He's actually having a late fitness test today, so I think it looks like he's not going to make it. Dean Marnie, Giovanni and Kami Zayati are all doubts for Hull. And Wolves could hand Jeffrey Mujanji Bia, his first start. Should I say that again? Jeffrey Mujanji Bia. I wouldn't like to be the commentator on that game, so he could get his first start for Wolves. Massive game for both clubs, isn't it, Brenches? Your club, West Ham, are sort of down the bottom of the table. But Hull Wolves, very, very big game for whoever. If Hull win, they could climb out of the bottom three, and Wolves could go down into the bottom three. If Wolves win, they could pull away, get on level points with Sunderland.
We're so close there. You look at that, they can go level points with Sunderland, and Sunderland are 13th. So, I mean, they can jump so far up the table, as can Hull. It is going to be a massive game.
6-pointer, as they call them.
It is, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm hoping, obviously, as a West Ham fan, I'm hoping for a draw, which I think isn't a bad prediction.
Well, it may not sound like a bad prediction, but Hull have... they've only lost one of their last seven games at home, which is an interesting fact. It's surprising considering where they are in the league. And Wolves have won just two away games in their 29 Premier League matches. So you could argue that once again the whole home advantage will come into play there. Wolves have been awful away from home. Hull have been, the last few weeks, have been fairly decent at home. It's going to be a great game, I think. I think this should be a few goals in that as well.
Yeah, and who are you going for?
I'm going to go for the home win, definitely, in that game. Just the stats speak for itself. But Mick, if anyone can get Wolves up for it, it's Mick McCarthy. I rate Mick McCarthy quite a lot down at Wolves.
And Brinches, you're going for a draw?
Yeah, 0-0.
Yeah, I thought you would be. Before we went to a little break, we asked you a question. Well, we didn't ask you a question. Andy Statt actually asked you a question. He asked you, when was the last time the FA Cup final was played outside of England? Obviously not counting when it was played at Millennium Stadium. It was actually, it was where? Where was the last game played? Have we all decided we're going for Old Trafford?
Yeah, we'll punt in for Old Trafford, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, we're going for Old Trafford. We had an email from Steve, who said he thought it was Villa Park.
Oh.
So Steve thought it was Villa Park.
Steve's worried me now.
Yeah, Steve thinks it's Villa Park, but we think it's Old Trafford. So let's see. Well, Andy Statt's the man with the answers. So Andy Statt, what have you got for us this week?
I did tell you it would be easy. It was, of course, the lovely city of Manchester.
He didn't answer the question.
He didn't answer the question.
Well, I suppose it obviously wasn't the city of Manchester Stadium, no. And it wouldn't have been Main Road. So
must have been Old Trafford.
Good old stat there, Andy.
Oh, Andy. God, you just can't get the staff, can you? Andy Stat. Right, coming up, Brinches is here, of course. He's going to be doing his League 1 and 2 preview. We're going to be going over the Championship games for this weekend. We've got a little gem for you, actually, our Christmas special. We had a call where J to the P called up Real Madrid. We're going to be playing that for you later. We've got Euro Report, Paper Talk, Paper Tat, a little 90s player challenge. You've got to stay tuned, guys. We're here till 1 p.m. today. See, I was walking down the
street. 101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. This is Matt Dean, and you are listening to the On FM Football Show. It's just gone 11:15 on an absolutely boiling Saturday morning here in Hammersmith. If you're in Hammersmith today, you're going to be absolutely... you've got to be loving the sunshine. It's sunbathing weather here in our studio. I've just took my jumper off. Gutted I've worn my thermals today as well. How's that for an image, ladies? Me and my thermals. Right, anyway, the Christmas special. We had a Christmas special on, I think it was the 19th of December.
It was around Christmas time, yeah.
It was, wasn't it, funnily enough? And on that show, we got some amazing footage where some professional footballers called up football clubs for various reasons. And one of those phone calls was by Jermaine Pennant, who now we know as J to the P. If you listen regularly, you'll know that J to the P, towards the end of every show, he likes to do a little rap about football player, and we all like to guess who that football player he's rapping about is. So just for those people who are wondering why we have J to the P on the show and who he is, this is that very phone call he did at Christmas for us. So listen, this is J to the P calling Real Madrid. You'll enjoy this.
Hi, when I come in?
Safe, man. It's Jermaine Pennant, isn't it?
Oh, come on. Hi, good afternoon.
Is this Real Madrid?
Yeah, this is it.
I respect, man. This is Jermaine Pennant, J to the P, yeah?
I'm sorry?
J to the P, Jermaine Pennant?
Could you repeat, please?
Sorry, man. Jermaine Pennant, yeah? I play for Real Zaragoza.
I play for Zaragoza,
yeah, it's on Saturday. You know what I mean? Yeah, I play for Real Zaragoza, Mercado Gofa.
Zaragoza.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, well,
is this the VIP ticket line, man?
Yeah.
Well, I want to get some tickets, yeah, for the game on Saturday.
Okay.
My family's coming out of that, you know what I mean? Like, my first Christmas away from home since I got the
family. Yeah. Okay. But, do you wanna, how many tickets do you want?
How many you got?
We got plenty of them.
Really, man? Can I have like 10 or something?
How many?
10?
10, of course, yeah.
I got the dollars, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you have to send us an email to make the request. Alright, with your name, number,
email, you know?
Yeah, send us an email with the number of tickets you need and your name.
The thing is that I've got, do you know Ashley Cole?
What?
Do you know Ashley Cole? He don't live in a hole, he ain't no mole. Yo!
I don't know who she is or he is. Ashley?
Ashley Cole, yeah, he's my bridgman. He's coming out to watch the game, with Cheryl. You know Shizza?
No, I'm sorry.
You don't know Ashley Cole?
No, where is she?
Is you not even watching X Factor, man?
She's what?
X Factor, Cheryl Cole, innit?
I don't know who she is, I'm sorry.
Oh my days, man. Well, basically, they're coming out to watch the game, watch me play, innit, with my mum and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna, they come watch the game, have a few drinks, go out.
Alright.
Go out on the town, man. Do you wanna come?
No.
Why not, darling?
Because I'm busy on Saturday.
You ain't busy. Come on, not for J to the P. That's me.
All right. Do you wanna buy the tickets or
buy the tickets?
Yes.
Man, they buy no tickets, man. You gotta send me them for free. I'm a VIP. That's me, J to the P.
I cannot send them to you. I'm sorry. You have to buy them. All right. If you want to send us an email. And if you don't want to buy them, I'm sorry, but you cannot get them.
Buy them? How much is they then?
From 200 euros.
200 euros?
Each one.
How much is that in English money?
I don't know. You can make the change if you want, but you're not paying in English money here. You're paying in euros.
Mans can't do math, innit?
Sorry?
Mans can't do math.
No, we can't do math. Well, I'm sorry, I have another call. Would you like to send us an email or?
I might be actually on the other line, then can you?
Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna tell her to buy them.
Alright, later then, girl. I'll check you, yeah?
Sorry?
I'll check you later, yeah?
Okay.
Alright, J to the P. Out.
101.4 on FM Sport.
I wonder if she did ever go out with Jay to the P for that drink that he wanted.
I don't know. He's a lovable chap, and maybe he might have called her up later and given her one of his raps. And
he's a good rapper, isn't he?
Yeah, not as in like a rap, as in the kind of food thing you get, like a but you know rapping like.
Yeah, we know what you mean, Brendan.
Music rapping.
Yeah, you're down with the kids, aren't you, Brendan?
Yeah.
If you love that J to the P phone call, you'll enjoy later. We've got more J to the P coming up where he asks you a question. He'll be doing a rap for you. You know, not the sandwich type thing, but a rap where he
he raps, rhymes
words together. You know, yeah. Like Eminem does it, Jay-Z does it, all the big names. So you'll enjoy that. That's coming up later in the show. He'll be rapping about a certain footballer for you, and you're going to have to guess who it is. But right now, from J to the P to Brinch to the Lee.
Like, oh. It. That was good, Matt. That was good.
Dave Brinchley, Brinches, our League One and Two expert. What have you got for us today, Brinches?
Right, first, quickly give you a bit of a rundown of the League One fixtures, I think. You have Brighton, who are at home to Millwall. Struggling Wickham travel to Bristol Rovers. Carlisle host London side Leyton Orient. Another London side, Charlton, are at home to Tranmere Rovers. Gillingham play Walsall. Leeds United, who are kind of struggling a little bit now.
Strange that, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They're at home to Colchester, so a big game there. Milton Keynes Dons are at home to Exeter. Norwich, who are the informed side of the division, no doubt, host Hartlepool. Oldham are at home to local side Brentford. Stockport travel to Southampton. Southend host Swindon Town. And Yeovil are at home to Huddersfield Town.
And good old League One, they're all 3 o'clock kickoffs today.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. As Brendan would say, just the way football should be.
Just the way football should be.
Oh, there he is, see? It's like a soundbite. Right, so, Brinches, what are the big talking points in League One?
We'll go on to the big game. I think the big game's got to be Leeds against Colchester. Leeds coming off a massive draw against Tottenham Hotspur in the FA Cup.
Great result for them again.
Excellent
wasn't it?
Result. They'll be confident of bringing them back to Elland Road. They've got a good record at Elland Road, and possibly another FA Cup round.
Another scalp for them. Another big scalp could.
But am I right, Dave, in thinking that Leeds haven't won a league match since the Manchester United? Since beating Manchester United in the FA Cup, is that right?
You are, yes. They've been on a very poor run of form.
They've got thrashed, didn't they, by Swindon?
Lost 3-0 to Swindon in the week. They've lost to Exeter, which was a shock, really. They've drawn with Wickham, another shock. They're struggling. So they really need to get their form back on, because, as I said, Norwich are really in form at the moment. And at the moment, now, they're in the hot seat for winning the league. I think everyone pretty much said that Leeds had it wrapped up comfortably.
Do you think they started to think that?
Yeah, possibly. And obviously they've had distractions like Jermaine Beckford wanting to go, not wanting to go. But they've got captain Richard Naylor is back in contention, which will be a massive boost for them, because he's one of their best players. And he's very experienced, and I'm sure he'll add a sure head to their defence. Colchester are very good at home, not so much away, I don't think. And obviously they're also coming off a 5-0 loss against Norwich City. So it's going to be a good game, I think.
And obviously, anyone who didn't pick up as well, Leeds have signed Birmingham forward Gary McSheffrey on loan until the end of the season as well. And apparently he goes straight into the Leeds squad for today's game. Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they've also David Prutton, who made the switch from Leeds United to Colchester on loan. He will be ineligible as he's playing. He would be playing his old team, but it's a great signing for Colchester, I think. He's very, very experienced. Obviously, he came from Nottingham Forest, so I think that's a really good signing. And Colchester really can kick on. They're hunting down Charlton, who had a poor result midweek, losing 1-0 to Leyton Orient. So
I say it to you every week, Brinches, but Adey Boothroyd, what a manager. Great manager.
He's done very well, especially inheriting Paul Lambert's tummy. And Paul Lambert did a good job for him, but when he left, I think they were on a bit of a... I don't know, I think they were a bit disappointed when he left. He's done a very good job. keeping them in touch with the playoff chasers, the promotion chasers, and like I say, they're hunting down Charlton now, as our team's behind them. Swindon aren't too far behind, so it's going to be really interesting now, from now on. Certainly going from at the start of the season when you thought Leeds and Charlton were up, basically.
Fantastic. Brentchers, thank you very much. That was wonderful, as usual, doing your League One roundup. Brentchers will be back doing his League Two roundup later in the show. So what more reasons could you have to stay tuned with us here at On FM? We're here with you guys till 1 o'clock today. Enjoy this.
101.4 On FM Sport.
Welcome back, this is Matt Dean and you are listening to the On FM Football Show, where it's about 11:30, unless of course you're listening to the podcast, and then you could just look at your watch to know the time.
Yeah, you could be in the tube, you could be anywhere in the world, anytime, any place.
I like to listen on my iPhone on the way to work. I just get the podcast up on my iPhone and it's a lovely little listen, even if the show is from a couple of months ago. We like to keep it topical, and it's fantastic. So make sure you listen on the podcast. If you go to our Facebook page, there's a link to the podcasts there, or if you go on the website, which is www.onfmradio.com, you can find our podcasts there. There is a link on the page. Right, let's do the championship. Sean Keneally didn't make it in today. He's still MIA, missing in action, but I think we're qualified enough to fill in for him, aren't we, Brendan?
Yeah, we can try.
We can do our best. Right, the championship games this weekend. Cardiff at home against Doncaster. Derby are playing Nottingham Forest. Coventry host Blackpool. Leicester City will be playing top of the table Newcastle. Crystal Palace recently into administration. We said a massive game now with them being down there, playing against bottom of the table Peterborough. Middlesbrough really still looking to push in those promotion places. We'll be playing Bristol City. Preston will be playing Roy Keane's Ipswich. Sheffield Wednesday at home against Plymouth. Local side Queen's Park Rangers against Scunthorpe. Pete Davies will be in later to talk to us about that game. Watford, Chris Ambrose's side, are playing against the Welsh side Swansea, who are doing very, very well this season. Reading against Barnsley, and West Bromwich Albion host Sheffield United. The pick of those games, probably Leicester versus Newcastle will be a great game, and of course there's Derby versus Nottingham Forest. Which game have you picked out, Brendan? Which game do you like the look of?
I'd actually go with West Brom against Sheffield United, actually.
Oh, neither of the ones I said. Good.
Yeah. Obviously, you've got West Brom in third place with 47 points, and Sheffield United just three places behind them with 41 points. So it's a bit of a playoff game. I expect goals. I always expect goals when West Brom are playing. They've scored 52 goals this season already.
Brilliant record.
Which is a great goal scoring record. And yeah, I think that's going to be a tasty encounter, definitely. For that would be my pick of the games in there, just because obviously it's a playoff race. West Brom could be out without Graham Dorans, who's got a hip injury, Roman Bentner, who has a foot injury, and they're both going to face late fitness tests. As well as that, you've got the new signing, a new Sheffield United signing, Mark Yates, is due to get his full debut, but Andy Taylor is out with a groin injury, and Marcel Saep is out with a hamstring injury. So a few injury worries, but should still be a cracker of a game.
So that's your big game. I'm going to pick out my big game, I think, in the Championship this week. It's got to be Derby versus Nottingham Forest, just because, purely because of the whole Nigel Clough thing, and of course Billy Davies, ex-Derby manager. No injury concerns for Derby County, so DJ Campbell expected to return to play against Leicester's... his final game before he returns to Leicester City. Wes Morgan is injured for Nottingham Forest, and that's not really any injuries there, so that should be a fantastic game. Derby versus Nottingham Forest. Obviously Nottingham Forest second in the league. A win would actually take them, I think, yeah, it would take them top... just about maybe top of the table, just on goal difference, or yeah, at least on equal points until Newcastle play Leicester at 5:20.
Yeah, I think Nottingham Forest need to win by three goals,
okay,
to take them up to the top spot. They're a Their goal difference is 24 and Newcastle's is 27.
And then Leicester, not Newcastle, which is at 520. And you may have heard Leicester City's name mentioned earlier by Andy Statt. He just popped his head in and he said, you may have... The answer was, of course, Leicester City. Now, we thought... The reason we played you that was because what we thought we'd do it in reverse. Because we thought people might be sitting at home thinking, why have they just played that? I wonder what the question was. So, guys, what do you think the question was for the answer to be Leicester City?
I think the question could have been, who is currently eighth in the Championship?
Would have been a very harsh one, wouldn't it?
It could be, who did Liverpool sign Emil Heskey from?
Could have been. Who plays at the Walker Stadium? Could have been that one. Brenches, any ideas of what the question could have been?
Who used to play at Filbert Street?
Ooh, nice one. Well, let's see. Let's see what Andy Statt's got for us. We've heard the answer. We know the answer's Leicester City. But what on earth was the question?
Right, second question of the day. I was wondering if any one of you could tell me which football club do the top pop band Kasabian support?
That's not a football question.
It's not. I wonder who they support.
I think... Is it...
The answer, of course, well, it's Leicester City.
Sure would never have guessed that now.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad we had it the other way round, because I wouldn't have known what team Kasabian support. So, a bit of branching out there for old Andy Statt, isn't it? Not just football, he also likes his music. Right, coming up for you still, we've got live music from Stealth MC. We've got Pete Davies coming up. We haven't forgotten that Brenches is going to be doing his League 2 roundup. We're going to be picking some teams out of the hat to have our accumulator. We've, of course, got some more from Andy Statt. Yeah, we've got more questions from Andy Statt coming up. J to the P's got his rap, and I'm going to be doing a European-flavoured scout report. And talking about Europe, Chris Ambrose is going to be doing his Euro report. So we've got about an hour and 20 minutes still left for you guys, and there is a lot coming up for you. So stay tuned with us. We're here with you at On FM till 1 p.m. today.
101.4 On FM Sport.
Welcome back. You're listening to the On FM Football Show. It's about 11:45 on Saturday morning, on a very sunny Saturday morning here in the studio. Right, every week we like to do a scout report. Rachel did hers last week. Brenches, you've had a go. Brendan, you've had a go. You scouted Chris Smalling for us. I've had a go this week, and I've scouted Simon... Oh, God, I'm going to try and get this right. Simon Kjær.
You don't even know the name of the player you're scouting.
You say this then. K-J-A-E-R.
Kjær.
Simple. It'll be like what I said. He's had 7 caps already for Denmark. He's a Danish centre-half. He was bought from a Danish side by Palermo for €4 million, and he's now, his value's gone up just in this half-season to about 10, 11 million. He's wanted by Arsenal, Manchester City, amongst others. And yeah, I think he's a real player to look out for the future. So that's Simon Kjær. You may have heard his name mentioned in the papers. He's a Danish centre-half. And I think you might be hearing a lot more from him as one of the big centre-backs to come in the near future. So look out for him. Simon Kjær. You may see him in the Premier League very soon.
How'd you spell that again?
K-J-A-E-R. Kjær. Simon Kjær. If there's any Danish people listening, firstly, sorry for offending you. And secondly, you can email us of the right way to say that at thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk, or you can get on Facebook. We've got a page on Facebook. You can join the group right on our wall. And tell me the right way to pronounce Simon Kjær. Brenches, League 2. What's going on in League 2 today?
Right, obviously, amazingly, we've got a full programme of games. No snow to interrupt them today. We'll start with Aldershot, are at home to struggling Grimsby. Darlington, bottom of the league, play Cheltenham away. Bournemouth travel to Crewe, really in need of a victory to reignite their promotion push. Lincoln City are at home to another team who are struggling of late, Dagenham and Redbridge. Morecambe are at home to Chesterfield. Burton Albion travel to Northampton Town. Notts County, big spend in Notts County, are at home to Barnet. Port Vale play Hereford. Rotherham, who will play in Sheffield, as they are, at the Don Valley Stadium, as they have been for the last couple of years, but they... are moving a step closer to sort of back to Rotherham. They've now finalised plans for a 12,000-seater stadium.
Good for the fans.
Are they taking out debt to pay off this new stadium, or is that money that's there to be invested?
P- Possibly. I'm not sure in the ins and outs. All I've kind of noticed is that they're moving back to Rotherham, which is obviously where they should be. They are at home today at the Don Valley Stadium to Macclesfield. Shrewsbury will play Accrington. Stanley and Torquay are at home to Bradford City. Now, of course, the big game, as if you haven't guessed already,
of course,
is Northampton Town against Burton Albion. Two sides who are in a little bit of form at the moment. Northampton, they struggled early on in the season a little bit. They've just come down. I think all the newly relegated teams struggled. You've got Cheltenham were down there for a long while. Hereford were down there and still are. But Northampton have been improving of late. They beat Bournemouth a couple of weeks ago. Burton Albion just been promoted along with Torquay. They're having a brilliant season. Paul Pesky Salido doing a great job there. So it's going to be a close game, I think.
And am I right in thinking Kevin Poole set the record for being the oldest? Is that the oldest player in that league or ever? 46 years old.
I think it's in that league. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure everyone will know him.
Yeah.
From Aston Villa, I think.
Was he Portsmouth, ex-Portsmouth? Kevin Poole, I think.
Possibly, yeah. But yeah, I mean,
well, I'm thinking of Alan Knight. Remember him? No? Classic 90s name.
Yep.
Remember that, you might need that. Semi-final next week, by the way, guys. Brench is going head-to-head against Sean Keneally and Rob.
He's played for a good few teams, Kevin Poole. He started his career at Aston Villa. He went on loan to Northampton, Middlesbrough, Leicester City, Birmingham, Bolton, Derby, and now, of course, Burton.
There we go. Burton playing his old club then. Northampton. But I think, in all likelihood, Artur Krychak will come in. He was suspended, and Kevin Poole kind of stepped in against Port Vale to deputise for him. Poole did play a lot last season, obviously at 45 years of age. But yeah, I think Krychak will come back. He's a good young lad on loan from Birmingham, I think. So he should come back in, and yeah, I think it's going to be a really good encounter.
Fantastic. Brenchers, thank you very much. If you'd like to meet Brenchers, don't forget, you can meet Brenchers and all the sports team here on FM next week at O'Reardon's. That's in Brentford High Street. Let me give you the postcode. Write this down. It's TW8ODX. That's postcode, so you can stick that in your sat-nav if you want. It's O'Reardon's Pub in Brentford High Street, and that's next week, next Friday, the 5th. It starts at 9 a.m. and it's finishing till late. It's going to be a fantastic night. It's all for a good cause. It's for the Milford Hospice in County Limerick. There's live music from a band called Acoustra. There'll be food. I'm sure there'll be lots of Guinness and ale flowing. We're all going to be down there. We're going to be having an absolutely fantastic time down there. So if you'd like to meet Brenchers, or indeed any of the team here, you can. We've had another email, and it's from Ruth. And Ruth would like to say happy 43rd birthday to her husband, Paul. So, Ruth, that one's for you. Happy birthday to your husband, Paul, who's 43 today. I feel like I'm on CBBC.
43 today.
Paul, he's 43 today. Happy birthday from his wife, Ruth.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday, Paul. Right, as you know, every week on the show, I like to do a topical track. And it's a track which is by a band. I generally try and make it by a band that I like or an artist that I like. And this week is no exception. I do like this band. It's a great track. What it is I like to link it to something that's happened in the week of football. This week, of course, the transfer window is ending. So I thought, you know, all us football fans were sitting thinking, my club hasn't signed anyone yet. But to those football fans, don't worry, there's still 2 days to go. It's not over yet. Which leads me to my topical track this week by the Klaxons. It's not over yet. Welcome back. This is Matt Dean and you're listening to the On FM Football Show. Right, every week on the show, you know what we did before, we had a Facebook player contest. And basically, we decided what the most popular team on Facebook was. And it was due to how many friends they had. So we decided the most popular team on Facebook. If you listened, you'll know that team. I'm not going to go through it again. I go through it every week. But now what we're going to decide is the most popular team, the On FM most popular team. So every week, we're going to have a little debate in the studio. We're all going to pick a player. Last week, we picked our goalkeeper. And Shay Given was chosen, wasn't he? We all put our point across of who we think deserves the position.
Yeah, Rob Brennan thought Shay Given should be our number one goalkeeper solely due to charity work. Nothing to do with goalkeeping. He thought because he does a lot of charity work, he should be the number one pick.
But he won though, didn't he?
He did, but that was for footballing reasons, not for charity reasons.
Well, He is a good goalkeeper as well, mate. Right, just because you lost. Right, Brendan, who you got? Who you going on? Put your point across for your right back.
I'm not sure. I'm struggling. I was going to go for John Pansel at Fulham, but you pointed out that I went for Mark Schwarzer at Fulham last week. So I'm going to have to. Actually, it's just come to. I've seen it there. I'm going to go for Steve Finnan. Steve Finnan, just for the obviously at Portsmouth now, for the work he's put in over the years in the Premier League. He's done really well at Liverpool, done really well at Fulham. He's doing not too bad at Portsmouth. So for his last ability, I'm going to go for Steve Finnan.
You're going to go for Steve Finnan?
Yeah.
Good shout, I'd say. Yeah, Steve Finnan. Who are you going for, Brenches?
I'm going to go. I've had a bit of trouble picking, but I think I'm going to go for Glenn Johnson. I think he's been injured for a little while, hasn't he? People would argue not the greatest right back in the world, but he's been brilliant this season. Moving to Liverpool, massive. Well, he was filling the boots of Steve Finnan, really, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And they've not really had a decent right back since him. And he's done really well. He's made the right back spot for England, I think, his own, really.
Yeah.
When he's fit, obviously. So I think Glenn Johnson.
So we've got Steve Finnan and Glenn Johnson. Just to let you know, we're not going for which players we think are the best players in their position. This is just the ones we like, the most popular players will be just who we like in that position. I'm going for Graham Alexander of Burnley. 38-year-old Graham Alexander. Just a bit of a role model, isn't he? Good, honest player, takes a fantastic penalty. Why did you just hold up Chimbonda?
I don't know.
He wrote on a piece of paper Chimbonda and held it up. Do you like Chimbonda, Brendan?
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah?
He's quite a character.
Are
anyway.
You going to change your Steve Finnan to Chimbonda?
No, I'm going to stick with Finnan.
So you're going for Finnan, you're going for Glenn Johnson, I'm going for Gary Alexander, just a good role model, fantastic penalty taker.
Graham Alexander.
What did I say?
Gary.
No, I said Graham.
You said Gary.
Shh, Brendan, shush. Right.
Fight!
Shall we? That'd be rubbish radio, though, wouldn't it? So I'm going for Graham Alexander, Burnley's right back. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a little vote while this next track is playing. We're going to have a little vote. And also, we're going to send round our accumulator hat. We've told you all the fixtures today. So as there's only three of us in the studio today, instead of send rounding all the fixtures, we're going to send round all the leagues. And then we're going to have to pick out two games from those leagues to predict. And then we will do our accumulator. I will also tell you how we got on with last week's accumulator. So after this, we're going to be telling you who our right back is in our most popular on FM team and doing our accumulator.
House.
Huh? 101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back, this is Matt Dean and you are listening to the On FM Football Show. It's just gone past 12 o'clock, we've got an hour to go, we're here with you till 1 o'clock today. Right, before the ads, we sent round the predictions hat, because we, as you know, every week we do our accumulator. This week, because there are only three of us in the studio, we did it a little bit differently. What we did was we sent round the leagues, and then whoever picked out the league had to pick two games and predict them from that league. This week, it's gone a bit wrong really, it's not what we wanted, is it, Brendan?
It's not what I wanted.
Certainly not what you wanted. You picked out the Division 3 in Scotland, and the games you've gone for, you've quickly gone on the BBC website and checked the league table, and you've gone for East Stirling to beat Stranraer and Livingston to beat Queen's Park. Brent has picked out the Championship, had a little bit of a better one, picking out the Championship, and he's gone for Sheffield Wednesday to beat Plymouth, Cardiff to beat Doncaster. I picked out League 2, and I went for Northampton to beat Burton, and Notts County to beat Barnet. So that's our accumulator this week. If you'd like to do that, you know, do the OnFM accumulator. Why don't you do it as well and see how we get on? We're going to go down to the bookies, pound each, and of course we're going to do our accumulator and see how we go. And just to let you know, we had an email. Of course, we get emails here, and the email said it was from James B in Putney, and he loves the OnFM accumulator, and he is definitely going to go and do the accumulator today. So James B's going to be doing the accumulator as well. Right, we've been joined in the studio. We've got live music. We've been joined by Stealth MC. And who have you got with you?
I brought along Miss Tara Brown along with me today.
And is she a singer?
She is a singer indeed. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, hello. I'm a singer, yeah. I work with Stealth MC, just doing some hooks and stuff with him.
Fantastic. And we sort of asked you before, are you a football fan, Saul?
I am indeed, yeah. I'm a goon.
You're a goon?
Gooner. Arsenal, yeah.
You're in good company, there's two of us here. How do you think the boys are getting on this season?
I think they are getting on all right, man. I would have liked a win against Villa, but, you know, sort of see how the next big matches come along, like.
Massive game tomorrow.
It is indeed, yeah.
Are you going to be watching it?
I will be watching it. I'll be touch and go with it. I want to say that I really feel they're going to win, but you never really know with Arsenal. To play beautiful football, but, you know.
Well, I've gone for a win. Brendan thinks it's going to be a draw. Go on, give us your prediction.
That's good. All right. A win. I'll be optimistic. It's a win.
He's gone for a win. Right, you're going to be doing a live chat for us. It's the first time we've ever had an MC in the studio. We've had bands in here before doing some tracks for us, but we've never had an MC, and so you're the first. You're breaking the mould.
Okay, I heard you talking about a rapper earlier on in the show, like rap, food rap and all that. Or...
Oh, J to the P.
That's him, J to the P. Yeah.
J to the P's coming up later.
Okay.
You can stay here for that. That's J to the P's going to be coming up just before the end of the show. You'll enjoy that, actually.
All right.
We might give you a run for his money. A run for your money.
Well, you know, it's touch and go, to be honest, but yeah, we'll see how it all goes.
Right, well, this is Stealth MC, so... Take it away, guys.
Yeah, let's go. Stealth MC. This is Midnight and You featuring Miss Tara Brown.
Yeah. Midnight. Seems so nice.
Nice little mellow vibe.
To the start of a new day.
Yeah.
And there's no place in this world that I'd rather be in. Right here. With Midnight.
Okay.
And you.
Yeah. I'm sitting on the sofa, I start to moving closer, I'm kissing on your shoulder, I wanna bend you over, allow the freaky force to take the time, babe, let's do this your way, because I know you hate my sleazy mind, we're watching DVDs, don't ask you what happened, I'll bother with acting, I'm more concerned with you and me, I've got them tracks playing, it's mellow sounds in the back, but the vibe is fickle, cares what they're saying, babes, I wanna get some cream and lay it down. Hear you moan ever so slowly while my hands are going round and round. I kiss them just to let you know I trust them. It's woe to you. I'll be your freaky brother if you're my dirty woe. If you don't tell us all about the pleasures we explore. Base them out to please you and make your body shape. But wait, you need to do something for me to make me levitate. I'm talking actions where you don't need me to concentrate. I can stay up all night, that's only if you're right. This ain't no love making, this ain't just crushing right. Then we hold you tight. And we can talk until the birds are talking. But right now I need that interlude. Me and you up in the nude. I know you need affection, I got my needs as well. And after all them no threats, I'm into the cell. Yeah.
And you,
Miss Brown.
It is so ironic.
We're on Nick.
Finally found my onyx.
On Nick.
Boy, you move me so.
Yeah.
Just wanna make love to you.
Come on.
Just wanna make love to you.
Just wanna make love to you. Okay.
And you.
All right.
Though our love is tight. We argue and fight.
Yeah, we fight.
Boy, you move me so.
Yeah.
Just wanna make love to you.
Okay.
Just wanna make love to you.
Yeah. All right. Stealth MC, listen. Hey, yo, this is another chapter, but still the love is strong. I had to step away cause we are right beside something strong. I think you had me twisted, got the wrong end of the stick. I show affection base, there's many ways to get you lifted. But you are holding back, so full of doubt. I can make with you, suppress the force and turn you out. But then the eyes wonder, then I wonder about some other chick. Still got a number, but I don't wanna call it, cause I don't wanna spoil it. But I don't wanna sit here fuming cause we're just ignoring. I'm not just blaming you, I made mistakes a few. And after all the fact of feelings, I'll be real with you. So I'll be real with you,
I'll be getting by.
But odds are stacked against because you're always on the mind. You claim you had a problem, G, you got a dirty mind. I toned it down with you, I held it back, babes, a dozen times. But I'm confused a little, see, I ain't no bro. But she be loving it or calling me, you're stalking me to run up under it. Less sad, now I'm thinking like, what's wrong? You're not attracted, we could have the best time. And that's the best, right? But I'll get mine. Sorry about the language, babe, I mean, I'll get by. Yeah.
It is so ironic.
Running.
Finally found my onyx.
Onyx.
Boy, you move me so.
That's right.
Just wanna make love to you.
That's right.
Just wanna make love to you. Just maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you.
Just wanna make love to you.
Though our love is tight.
Though it's sad.
We argue and fight.
Oh, yeah, we're back.
Boy, you move me so.
Yeah.
Just wanna make love to you. Just wanna make love to you. Let me make love to you.
Yeah.
Make love.
Oh.
Just wanna make
Come on. Come on, sing.
Make love. Yeah, me. Make love. Yeah, it's me. Make love.
Woo!
Yeah!
Sorry for the risque lyrics at the beginning, man.
We all sort of looked at each other and thought, oh no, where's this going? I think we knew where it was going. That was Stealth MC, that was fantastic. That was called Midnight and You, wasn't it?
That's it, yeah.
And if people want to get that track, where can they?
They can, to download it, you have to wait until my actual website kicks off. That's going to be launching in February. But right now, you can check me out on MySpace, the usual website, / Stealth's Got Bars, all the proper spelling there. You can check me out on YouTube, just type in Stealth MC into Google. I'm all over the gaff.
So go to Google, type in Stealth MC,
yeah,
and that's where people can find you. And on MySpace, is there a way to get hold of your tracks?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's a few free tracks there for download, but like I'm saying, once the actual website launches, that's stealthmc.co.uk. That's going to be launching in February. Keep an eye out for that one. That's going to have a few free downloads, reel you in, and then I'm going to start charging to get some cash.
You've got to start charging. Have you got any live dates coming up?
I do indeed, yeah. Me and Tara, we're live next week, Thursday, up at Rudy's Revenge. It's an event called Rum Punch. A nice, mature little vibe for a weekday evening. And
where is that?
That's in Holborn.
Yeah.
148 Rudy's Revenge, Holborn.
And if you've got more dates coming up, can people get on your MySpace to check out where you're going to be playing?
Yeah, there's always dates up on the MySpace. I'm up on Facebook as well, Stealth MC. So, yeah, check out my MySpace. Like I said, once the website kicks off as well, you can keep updated with the upcoming dates.
Well, maybe get on our Facebook page, put a link on there to your Facebook page or your MySpace, and then
if they
go on there, they can find your stuff.
I will do indeed. And you can listen to the adult version of that track after 9 o'clock as well.
What was that then? Was that the child version?
Yeah. That was the child version, yeah.
Well, the first MC to perform in our studios, I'm sure we're going to have many more. Hopefully we'll get you back in. That was absolutely fantastic.
I actually want to battle JP.
Really?
Yeah. Can I just take him out on air?
He's not actually here at the moment.
Okay, all right.
But we could try and sort that out another time.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Maybe we'll get Jay to the P on next, so you can hear his rhymes.
Okay.
Stealth MC, thank you very much.
Thank you.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. This is Matt Dean, and you're listening to the On FM Football Show. You just heard Stealth MC. Did you enjoy that performance?
I thought that was really good, yeah. For an MC, we weren't expecting how it was going to go with an MC, so...
He was great, wasn't he?
He was brilliant,
especially performing in the sauna that is our studio today. It's so hot in here. And we've been joined by Pete Davies, our Queen's Park Rangers expert. You all right, Pete?
I'm good. I mean, it's pretty good, because I've come in, I've got a woman singing about making love, then I can't get no satisfaction, and I'm baking up. What do you want?
Do you feel like you're on holiday?
I do, yeah.
So, Pete... Queen's Park Rangers today. What's the gossip? You've got the inside track at QPR. What's been the gossip this week?
I'm gonna give a couple of minutes for people to tune in, because I do know the starting 11. We'll come on to that in a minute. But there are calls today for some fans to be wearing noses and clown outfits. I don't know if you saw that in the Sun newspaper. Obviously, a lot of supporters feel that we are a comedy club, joke club. We've gone to Nottingham Forest, a game that I did go to, lost 5-0, absolutely battered. I mean, there's some players there that...
You must have wanted to leave after 15 minutes of that one.
Whoa, 30 minutes maybe. I mean, 3-0, you know, you don't mind going 1-0 down because you think you've got some chance of coming back into it. But once you're 3-0 down at half-time, you've got absolutely no chance at all.
Did you start thinking, if I leave now, I could get back in time for the EastEnders repeat or something like that?
Big Brother was what I was looking forward to. I mean, it was just one of those games where there was just no effort at all. There has been a clear in the air meeting this week. That took place on Thursday. The board, the manager, the players all got in together, had a heart-to-heart, players saying things that they felt, manager obviously saying to the players what he wanted from them, the board telling them what they wanted. There is hopefully a degree of unity, shall I say, but that means for nothing if they cannot beat Scunthorpe today. Going to be tough, because Scunthorpe last week, they played well against Manchester City. They showed what a decent footballing side they are. One thing they've got that we haven't got at the moment is a bit of passion. and a team. You know, we've got individuals, but there's no I in team. And unfortunately, there's one or two players there that need to take a long, hard look at themselves and put up a good performance today.
Fitz Hall went out on loan this week, didn't he? Gone to Newcastle. Were you pleased, disappointed?
I think the majority of fans were pleased that Hall went on loan. I think the more the surprise that it was actually Newcastle, because he hasn't performed well. He's one of the players that it's fair to say has been a sort of boo boy from the fans. Hasn't really done that well. Then obviously the sale of Routledge. Well, that was much more sort of controversial, and as much that Routledge is seen as one of our better players. What are the club doing? I mean, is Flavio recouping some money to sell on? I mean, there are rumours, and the rumours will mount that Flavio is becoming more disinterested in the club. And I think from a fan's point of view, they want change. But, you know, my advice would be careful what you ask for, because if we force all of them out, and then there we have the son-in-law of the richest man in the world, Bernie Eccleston, have got a lot of money behind them. If we force all of them out of this football club, we will A, go into administration, and B, do a Luton. Now, fans will say, well, that's start from scratch and that's do a Luton. But the reality is, you know, if you've got people of that calibre in there, don't force them all out. That's all I would say.
For an outsider looking in, like myself, or like many people who are listening, who aren't Queen's Park Rangers fans, and they're looking at this and they're thinking, right, you've got all these money men behind the club. Why aren't they doing it right? Why? Because, I mean, at Man City, they've got a massive owner.
I think the difference between Manchester City and QPR is that QPR are a championship club, and it's much more difficult for to attract better players. And I think to a degree they did that with two Januaries ago when the first came in, the first transfer window, there was five or six good buys, and Rangers fans thought, oh, we're going places. It's not worked out because, in my opinion, it rests with the top, and with that you've got Flavio Briatore, who is basically power freak came to my head immediately, but ultimately he's the guy responsible for absolutely everything at that football club. Now it's okay saying, well, why isn't Bernie doing this and why is Aminet doing that? The point is that Flavio owns 50% of the football club. So he makes all the decisions, you know, and people don't see what people like Bernie Eccleston and Amit Bhatia do behind the scenes, you know. I'm not privy to all what they do, but I know they do a lot more than what we give them credit for. There is, obviously, disillusionment at the sporting director, Gianni Palladini, who is ultimately responsible for the players that have come in. You know, some of the players haven't worked, but you can't blame him for the quotes of £20 fans. You can't blame him for the fact that, you know, 3 months ago this team under Jim McGilton winning every football match, you know. So I think it's the problem lies from top to bottom, and it's the whole club which is really in a bad way, and you know, very sad for supporters at the moment.
You mentioned a bit earlier, Pete, about a few fans maybe wearing clown uniforms, and I remember last week on the results show you spoke about talk of the old £20 note, fake £20 notes being, for fans out there or for football fans who don't know the exact details, what exactly is going on? Are these protests that are being planned? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would hope that the protests are done in a civil way. You've got, I think the anger will be if we lose today. I think, you know, I think fans will go there, they'll go there positive, it'll be a light-hearted sort of protest, fans wearing noses, fans wearing clown habits. I don't think they'll, you know, you'll see a few, and it will do its job, because if we lose, those photographs will be taken, it'll be in the newspaper. I am concerned, I personally, and I'm only speaking because it's my opinion, and, you know, everyone's entitled to it. We've been in a worse situation before, with administration and relegation, and I just hope it goes along civilly, and, you know, it's not too many numbers.
Will it work? Will it make a difference? Like we've seen down at Portsmouth, it hasn't. The protests there don't seem to have made a massive amount.
No, because I don't think it will be to the extent of Portsmouth. I think Portsmouth are in an absolute disarray, and I think today's a sort of light-hearted way of getting a message across. And if it does get some sort of paper columns in inches in the newspapers, then that's job done.
Was there any point where you thought I might dust off the old clown nose and the old clown shoes?
No, I'm not in favour of it, but I can understand fans who do it, and I just feel very strongly today that if we win the football match today, then everything will go off okay. I am very, very concerned that if we lose today, it will be big news tomorrow. And that is a shame, because no supporter wants to be in that situation. But, you know, you're never going to get every supporter to agree. And it's going to be quite... it just adds to the comedy element if we get that kind of coverage on Sunday's newspaper.
And as far as the game goes today, you said you had the lineup. Can you reveal that?
I can reveal that. Now, Peter Ramage has been dropped from right back, so Mikel Ledgerwood is going to be playing right back today. Ikemi, who many didn't rate during the week, he remains in goal. There are problems with Cherny. He's got a bad back at the moment. So Ikemi, who has signed to the end of the season, will be in goal. Left back is going to be the new signing, Clint Hill from Wolves. Centre backs will be Gawkes and Connolly. Stewart is unwell. Midfield will be Fallin and Kwasi. Right wing will be Bazaki. Tarab on the left. And up front, Vine and Simpson.
And lastly, do you think they can win?
Can they win? They can win. There are going to be watchful eyes from me for three players today: Tarab, Bazaki, Vine. If they put it together, we will win this game. If they don't, and they jog about like they have in the last couple of games, we won't. I'm going to predict. You're going to ask me for my prediction.
I was just about to say, what's your prediction?
I think we're going to lose.
Score?
1-0.
Oh, 1-0. QPR fans across the country are like, Pete, no!
Well, I just think the character cannot change that quickly from Tuesday to Saturday. The new players need to gel. When I saw that lineup, I was very concerned, because to me there's 3-4 players in there that are not showing any passion and do need to get their foot in. So I don't think there will be big change from Tuesday. Sorry.
Right, as you just heard, Pete is an expert as far as Queen's Park Rangers goes, and every week we like to ask the expert. We like to have a little experts quiz where we ask the expert three...
I hope you made them hard.
Very hard. Okay. We like to ask the expert three questions. We've asked Sean Keneally so far, who got one right.
Sean got one.
Chris got none about Europe. Rachel got none. And you got none last week about your specialist subject, WWE wrestling.
Yeah, can you believe that, Pete? He's given me specialist subject wrestling.
So now it's time to ask the expert. Pete Davies, you are the expert. Time for your quiz. Are you ready?
Yep.
Question number one. What is Rufus Brevett, Queen's Park Rangers legend, what is his middle name?
You have made him really hard, haven't you? I'm checking the message board to see if anyone knows that. Rufus... I don't know. I'm going to go... That is tough. Gordon.
Incorrect. The answer was Emmanuel.
Rufus Emmanuel Brevett.
Rufus Emmanuel Brevett.
Oh, his parents must have been watching a few movies.
0 out of 1. Second question. How many league goals did Les Ferdinand score for QPR? Hang on, I'll let you be two either side.
I should know this because I'm doing an interview with Les Ferdinand this week and I had it written down. I've got an interview with him on Monday or Tuesday this week and I had it written down.
It's league goals.
League goals. You know what?
You can be two either side.
I'm going 94.
Wrong.
Oh!
80.
Oh! that one's particularly gutted me because I've got it written down. That my pad over there, just behind me, and people can't see, obviously, the studio, I've got a pad written down there, and it's got all Ferdinand stats that I was going to speak to him about, and it's written down there how many goals he scored.
Ready, Pete?
Yeah, go.
To save face, to get one right out of three, your last question. Where in the league, what position, did Queen's Park Rangers finish in the 1987-88 season? 87-88, where did they finish?
Oh, he's gone quiet.
Very long pause.
I'm trying to remember which season that would be. 87-88. Have you made it easy for me? I mean, you're not going to give me some obscure like 14th or anything like that.
Really? No, no.
No, okay. No. I'm going to go with 6th.
5th.
Oh! I'm going to be hoping before that.
Pete, 0 out of 3. Unlucky.
They were hard. I bet he didn't get the hard questions on the wrestling.
He got 0 out of 3 as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The only person to ever get one right is Sean who got one right out of three. Next week it's your next week it's your turn, Brinches. Right, if you'd like to get in contact with us, if you think you knew any of the answers to those questions, the email address is thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. Or you can write on our Facebook page. If you get on our Facebook page, you can write on our wall anything you want to say, anything football related, anything you might be doing today. If you're going to any games, you've got any predictions, just write on our wall. It's an easy way to get in contact with us. Graham has written on, he hasn't written on our wall, so he sent us an email. Graham, who's off to the Fulham game today, and he says, go on the boys. Brendan, you going to the Fulham game today?
I am indeed.
So you'll be seeing Graham there, and he says, go on the boys. That's the football show at onfmradio.co.uk. If you want to get in contact with us, we'll be back after this.
London is on 101.4 on FM.
On FM.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. You're listening to the On FM Football Show, where we are going to be joined till the end of the show by Pete Davies. He's going to stay with us, aren't you, Pete?
I am. I'm going to put my two pennies worth in when I can.
Even though it's very hot in the studio, and even though he got all his questions wrong, we're still going to allow him to stay. Because there's no Rob, no Sean, no Rachel today. Or no Chris.
I bet you no QPR fan the land knew those answers.
Well, if you are a QPR fan and you did know those answers, and you want to maybe go head-to-head against Pete one week, challenge
That'd
Pete.
That'd be good.
Challenge Pete. I think. Yeah. So if you're a QPR fan and you think you know better than Pete, which I'm sure you probably don't, email us. It's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. You can get in contact with us there if you've got a question for Pete. If you want to ask Pete a question, get in contact with us there, or get on our Facebook page and write on our wall. Right, Andy Statt has dropped in a couple of gems already this week, so let's see the next question Andy Statt's got for us.
Right, my final question of the week. Now, I know from listening to the show that there's a couple of Arsenal fans in the studio, so this answer should come very easily to you. I was wondering if you could tell me, from which organisation did the Gunners get their famous nickname?
Ooh. Now, I'm an Arsenal fan, but that's a little bit before my time. Brendan, it's not before your time. Do you know the answer?
Well, it was definitely before my time, but I know the answer, yeah.
Ooh. Woolwich Arsenal.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, is that the answer?
That's the answer. They're originally in Woolwich, and it was the arms base.
I knew that, and I'm not an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, they were the Woolwich Arsenal.
Brinches, did you know that?
Oh, I knew that, because that's where I live, so I live in Woolwich Arsenal. So
let's just let Andy Statt confirm that we all know the answer.
The answer, I hear you ask? Well, it was the Woolwich Arsenal Munitions Works in South East London. In 1913, however, they moved from South to North London in search of a greater supporter base. But I'm sure you knew that already.
We did know that, Andy. Thank you. It's not me, by the way. As good as that impression was, Andy Statt isn't me. Andy Statt is a real person who sits at home and watches and listens to and eats and drinks football. Andy Statt, thank you very much. You've given us three absolute gems this week. Right. Another person not here today is Chris Ambrose, and he's done still for us. He's been out doing his Euro report, as he likes to do. Fantastic, Chris. Thank you very much. You sent in your Euro report. Let's see what's been going on around Europe this week.
101.4 on FM Sport.
And now for your European Domestic League roundup. In Italy, Inter Milan moved 9 points clear of city rivals AC Milan at the top of Serie A, thanks to a 2-0 win at the San Siro on Sunday, despite being reduced to 9 men by the end of the match. Diego Milito gave into the lead in the 10th minute, but they were forced to play over two-thirds of the game with 10 men after Wesley Schneider was sent off. Goran Pandev's 65th minute strike secured the points for Jose Mourinho's side, who lost Lucio to a red card in stoppage time before Ronaldinho saw his penalty saved at the end of a dramatic derby. On Saturday, former Juventus coach Claudio Ranieri returned to haunt his old club and pile the misery on his successor Ciro Ferrara as Roma ran out 2-1 winners at the Stadio Olimpico. Alessandro Del Piero gave the home side the lead with a goal in the 51st minute, but Francesco Totti equalised from the penalty spot in the 68th minute. Juve lost goalkeeper Gianluigi Buffon to a red card in the 83rd minute before Jonathan Risa clinched the points for Roma deep in stoppage time. The result leaves Juventus sixth in the Serie A table. In Spain, Cristiano Ronaldo scored both goals before being sent off as Real Madrid cut the gap to leaders Barcelona to 5 points with a 2-0 victory over Malaga on Sunday. Ronaldo had struck twice in quick succession in the first half to put Madrid on their way to a 10th consecutive home win this season, but he was then handed his marching orders in the 70th minute. Ronaldo was shown a straight red card after catching Patrick Matilliger in the face with a flailing elbow as he attempted to escape from the Malaga defender, but the 10 men of Madrid held on for a crucial 3 points. On Saturday night, Barcelona's routine 3-0 win at struggling Valladolid saw Guardiola's side finish the first half of the Primera Division campaign unbeaten. In establishing their unbeaten run, the Catalans became only the fifth side to accomplish such a feat, and they did so with comfort against a poor Valladolid outfit. Xavi and Dani Alves struck within the space of 2 minutes halfway through the first period to give Guardiola's men full control of proceedings, and Lionel Messi added a third shortly into the second period to wrap up a comfortable victory. In Germany, Bayer Leverkusen stormed back to the top of the Bundesliga with a 3-1 win at Hoffenheim on Sunday. Leverkusen, who were briefly displaced at the summit following Bayern Munich's 3-2 win at Werder Bremen on Saturday, were ahead after 11 minutes through Sami Hupia, with two second-half goals providing breathing space for the away side. On Saturday, Bayern moved temporarily back to the top of the table by edging a 5-goal thriller at Werder to secure their 6th successive win. Aaron Hunt put Bremen ahead in the 10th minute, but Bayern responded with goals from Thomas Müller and Ivica Olic to deservedly lead at the break. The Bavarians missed chance after chance and were punished when Hugo Almeida levelled in the 75th minute, but Arjen Robben sealed 3 points for the visitors 3 minutes later. And that's your European Domestic League Roundup on 101.4 on FM.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Thank you very much, Chris Ambrose. That was his Euro report this week. The German league's looking a bit tasty, isn't it? Have you seen much of the German league, Pete, at all?
I haven't watched much of the German league. I watch a bit of Spanish football.
Yeah, good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, and the Italian side as well. I think under Mourinho, the Milan team are going to be a stiff competition for Chelsea. But I think they're catching up actually on English football.
All the top leagues are looking quite good. I think Italy, probably Inter Milan, are going to win that league. It looks like in Germany, it's hotting up. Bayern Munich were quite near the bottom of the table, then they've stormed up the table now, and they look like they're going to possibly going to win that league. And Spain's looking good because you've got Real Madrid and Barcelona, although it's definitely going to be one of the two. And obviously England's looking fantastic.
Mm.
So there's some great leagues going on around Europe.
Yeah, Germany's definitely one for the title race. You've got four teams within 5 points
of each other. Can you pronounce all four of them?
I can pronounce all four, and I'll do it now. Top of the league is Bayer Leverkusen. Then you've got Bayern Munich in second, an amazing comeback considering the start of the season they had. Schalke in third, and Borussia Dortmund in fourth. I suppose I had fairly easy ones
didn't I?
They're all the big names, really, aren't they?
Yeah, only 5 points between those top four clubs, so definitely a tasty title race in Germany.
And in Italy, rumours this week, well, reports this week coming out that Adrian Mutu has failed and two more drugs tests. So
There was rumour before, his agent was trying to press for a deal for Manchester City, and Man City came out and said, well, no, we're not interested. And within a week, obviously, he's come out and done that. So.
Very good footballer as well. Just a shame that he's done that. I think for drugs that stop you putting on weight.
I met him once.
Really nice guy?
Yeah, he was in
He didn't offer you anything, did he?
No, he was in the Tesco's opposite Chelsea Football Ground on the Fulham Road buying a Galaxy bar.
Oh, There you go. He obviously had the munchies.
That was my claim. That was my claim to fame.
I like that. I like that, Matt. That was a good one. A fair dues.
Cheers, mate. also, coming out of Spain this week, reports that Thierry Henry is going to snub move to the Premier League in favour of retiring in America. Going to do a David Beckham. Wants to go to New York.
Yeah, I'd say it's more than likely. Obviously, I think there's going to be a lot of money over there. He's a bit like a. Roger Federer, he's been on the Gillette adverts over there, so they kind of recognise him slightly.
Well, I hope
America.
He's not like Tiger Woods.
Hopefully not, no.
How old is he?
Thierry Henry. I think he's got to be 33 now.
Yeah, I think he's 32, heading to 33 very soon. But still a good footballer,
still a couple more years in him and get a good last pay packet out in America.
I think 2011 his Barcelona contract runs out, and I think he's going to play at the end of that, and then off he goes to America. Right, if you've got any opinions on what you think Thierry Henry should do, or just any football-related gossip, get in contact with us. The email address is thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. Got there in the end. Had an email from Lucy from West London, who says, when is the J to the P rap going to be on? Because her boyfriend can't wait to guess. He guesses it every week, and he can't wait to guess this week. So Jace the P will be coming up probably after this next track. And this next track, it's my track of the week. It's by a band called Mumford & Sons. They're a really good band. This is quite a mellow track on a cold January afternoon. So enjoy it. This is Mumford & Sons with The Cave.
101.4 on FM Sport.
You all right, Pete?
Sorry, yeah.
Welcome back. You're listening to the On FM Football Show with me, Matt Dean. That was Mumford & Sons with a track called The Cave. Did you enjoy that, guys? Nice.
Who are The Cave?
No, the song's called The Cave. They're called Mumford & Sons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, turn your mic up, Brendan.
Yeah, I've got to stick my mic on. Yeah, it was quite a nice little track.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of mellow. Probably not what you want to hear if you walk into a football match.
Is that your style of music, is it?
Yeah, I like it. As you know...
What would that be called? What brand of music would that be called?
I'd say that would be called indie folk.
Yeah, I was going to say folk. I'm not sure.
Is it popular amongst youngsters?
I don't know. Not being a youngster, I wouldn't know. No, obviously, yeah, I think it is. I think Mumford & Sons are quite a big band at the moment. They're going to do big things. They're getting quite big time. Right. Paper talk, paper tat. Every week, Brendan Horgan likes to trawl through the papers and he finds his paper talk and indeed his paper tat. I found him a bit of tat this week. But,
Paper tat!
And it's not quite paper tat, although you will find it in your paper today. It's all this business about the 3D glasses. They're launching the big 3D thing tomorrow with Arsenal versus Manchester United. Have you heard about this, Pete?
I haven't heard too much about it. I couldn't believe it when you told me about it.
Yeah, you can watch the game in 3D in your pub or whatever if you just get these glasses. But what I think is, if you want to watch a game in 3D, get off your sofa, pay 5-10 quid and go and watch any game. And that's 3D. If you actually get off your bum and watch a game, it's 3D, isn't it?
It's a bit like the high definition, isn't it? I mean, we've got the normal Sky Sports. Now it's high definition. Now you're talking about 3D.
Sky Sports 3D, yeah.
And, you know, it's... You'll end up being games only on high definition eventually.
Yeah.
So you'll end up paying more. So you start with a subscription that costs 20 quid. Now it's 30, and then it's 40. And what is... I mean, does anyone here know the difference between the normal, nice sort of viewing to high definition?
I think it's around £20 per month extra for the high definition, and you also have to buy the high definition box, which they don't, unless you manage to get one of these deals that they throw, which is normally only for new customers anyway.
But what's the picture like? Is it crystal clear? Because I've got a great big
TV. To be
TV,
honest, I don't know if my sister and brother-in-law have the high definition, and it is clearer. It is clearer, but personally, I don't think it's worth £20 extra a month. Not yet. Not unless... If they want to give me 3D for an extra 20 quid a month and throw in a free 3D TV...
So you think 3D might be the future, then?
I don't, to be honest. As Matt said, in my opinion, if you want to watch a football game in 3D that badly...
What's it supposed to do? Is it supposed to make you feel like you're in the game kicking the ball?
I think so. Would a ball be sort of coming... Would you be ducking out?
I think basically what it's... It's just it. Instead of you watching it on the screen, it kind of the action's going on in front of you,
right?
So it does. It's
sit near the screen.
Yeah. I don't know, to be honest. I don't think. I really don't think of all the sports, I don't think 3D football's going to work really.
But you can see maybe because they had cinema. Didn't they have the England game on in the cinema? You imagine going down to cinema with 3D glasses sitting and watching a Sky Sports game on a Sunday.
That'd be quite good, wouldn't it?
Would you have your popcorn to the right, glasses there and watching that? I mean, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know if I'd want to watch a game in a cinema, to be honest, but...
They showed the England-Ukraine game with the qualifiers, which was screened in loads of cinemas for those who didn't want to pay to watch a dodgy internet feed.
Nice hot dog, popcorn, some £4 or £5... cup of coke.
You'd feel wrong kind of cheering in a cinema, you know, they've got this silent feel to them. I don't know how well it would work, you know.
What I think they should introduce, and I'm sure they will introduce one day, is player view, where you see a game from a player's point of view. So you stick your 3D glasses on and they stick something like a little microchip on, say, Steven Gerrard's head, and you are Steven Gerrard for the game.
You know what I would like to see is some of these players before the game, they do a huddle. I'd like to microphone sort of to know what they're actually saying.
I don't like that action you're doing.
No, it is one finger, not the other. It's basically, you know, having the huddle and seeing what they say to each other. I'd quite like that. Or having in the dressing room having a secret sort of...
They do that on camera. Sometimes, don't they, on ITV, I
on
think.
On the odd documentaries you'll get. I remember actually in the League Cup, one of the earlier rounds, they went into the dressing rooms and done the interviews from the dressing rooms.
But it's bleaked out all the way through.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
They do it ITV for the FA Cup as well, and they do, like, interviews with the manager walking off the pitch into the dressing room, which I think is quite a good addition.
I wouldn't want to see anyone naked in 3D, though, would you?
No.
Having a shower.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, that was my paper tat. Now time for Brendan's...
Paper Talk.
All credit to Gavin Brown in the Metro on Friday. Irony, because on Thursday's sports show, myself and David Brenchley were talking about the NFL and the Super Bowl final, and we brought up salary caps, basically, and Gavin Brown in the Metro has got on Friday has an article which basically saying it's the only way to stop football's debt addiction. He's basically saying that until these clubs introduce salary caps to the league, you're going to have more and more teams overspending, going bust, going into administration, losing the 10 points, possibly going out of business. And I think it's a great idea, and I think it's a great point that Gavin Brown makes, which is, you know, the clubs can't keep overspending, and until something's put in place to stop them from doing it, they will. Certain clubs will keep on doing it. Mm. Are you guys fans of the salary cap?
I am, because I think football's just going to go further down the chute, and you just can't run a normal person doesn't run a business in debt, and I don't see why it should be any different for football clubs.
What you have now compared to a few years ago is, unfortunately, you know, a player would go to a club based on the passion for that club. Now what you've got is you've got players that will go solely for the money. You know, you can see instances where a player will go from the Championship to a higher Championship or go to the Premiership. It's all about what they will get on a weekly basis. And okay, the wage cap. What do you suggest? I mean, is it 60,000? Is it lower for lower clubs? That's where the difficulty lies, because you're still going to have a player who's earning maybe a cap of £10,000 in the Championship, let's say. But the cap in the Premiership for the top six might be 14, and where do you have it?
I think the way they do it in America is they don't actually have a cap as such on the individual wage. What they do is they have a cap on the overall wage. So, for example, let's just use QPR, for example, at the start of the season, the maximum amount of wages in that year they'd be allowed to spend would be, let's say, £60 million. Right. Obviously, that's Dreamworld QPR. No offence.
Yeah.
But say £60 million. That's how they do it. So within that 60, they could pay someone on the team £100,000 a week. But then there's another person on the team getting £5,000 a week, as long as they don't just basically go over the yearly spend. That's from what I understand, anyway.
They also, I think, there's like the Beckham ruling or something, which they can now pay one player as much as they want. And it doesn't come in the salary cap.
But can you see Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea adhering to any of that?
No, possibly not. I suppose...
if they had to, they have to. There's no choice.
Yeah, you could argue that, for example, Arsenal will have a self-imposed salary cap at the club, and a lot of these clubs do. Well-run clubs do. Obviously, your likes of Manchester United, Liverpool don't.
Because it'd be great, because for me, what I crave is an even playing field for the Premiership or the Championship. You know what I mean? If you support a team like Fulham, right, you want to be able to say, right, we could potentially win the Premiership. You don't want to be, oh, well, we can end up mid-table, you know, if we finish seventh, that's that's a great season. Every club in this land should be on a level playing field, you know, and see how they do. We used to have that in the 70s, you know, QPR finished second to Liverpool. You know, Wimbledon beat Manchester United, they beat Liverpool in the FA Cup. It needs to be more level, you know?
Well, it's definitely a debate that could rumble on, but unfortunately we haven't got time. But if you've got any opinions on this, get in contact with us. It's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. Alternatively, if you're on the internet, you can get on Facebook, you can write on our wall, tell anything you've got to know.
Can I plug my show tonight, by the way?
Yeah, quickly.
Yeah, 7 to 8, the full-time football results show.
I'll be there with Pete.
Definitely tune in for that. Someone who will be listening, I'm sure, is Jermaine Pennant, J to the P. He likes to do a little rap for us every week. He sends in a rap, we have to guess the player he's rapping about. Let's see who J to the P is rapping about this week.
I see you, London. Can you guess who J to the P is rapping about this week? I'm talking about a man who gives all for the cause. Once upon a time, knocking on Sven's door. But now he takes up a new role. Getting back to the Prem is this man's goal. And he's doing pretty well. I think he might be in the Prem soon, man. J to the P, I spat your rhyme. What do you see?
Once again, special guests on the beatbox. I've got to give much love, taking time out from scoring goals in the FA Cup. My namesake, Jermaine Beckford, J to the B. Thank you very much for doing the beatbox for me today.
Yep. 101.4 on FM Sport.
So that was Jermaine Pennant from Real Zaragoza rapping about a footballer. Last week he rapped about Nigel Martin. The week before that it was Luis Saha. Any ideas who he was rapping about? Pete?
Didn't he say Jermaine Beckford?
No, that was who was doing the beatbox for him.
Oh, right, okay.
Jermaine Beckford was doing the beatbox for him.
I don't know who it was. Go on.
What were the clues? The clues were that the player used to play in the Premiership. Now he has a new role. He's trying to get back into the Prem. He was once knocking on Sven's door. I assume England's door. He now has a new role. That was an interesting one. What could his new role be? And he looks like he's going to get back into the Prem. They're the clues. Brentius?
Is it the only person I can think of? Maybe Alan Smith? Because he swapped from striker to centre mid.
Possibly could be Alan Smith. Well,
Joey Barton swapped from being a criminal and to maybe a more respected player.
Yeah, Pete.
No ideas.
No ideas at all from Pete. Right. Well, there's only one man that can answer the question. Over to you, J to the P.
I bet none of you even got that one. What is you, thick or something? Call yourselves experts. On FM football team, you're whack. Course, man. It was Alan Smith, innit? No, not the one with the big nose who used to play for Arsenal. Alan Smith, ex-Leeds, ex-Man United. Now playing for Newcastle, captain. Alan Smith, man. I hope you got that home. Jason to the P. Until next week. Out.
101.4 on FM Sport.
That boy gets animated, doesn't he?
Who is that guy, anyway?
Jermaine Pennant.
Actual Jermaine Pennant, that's very good. Yeah. Very good, what more can I...
Every week he sends us in a rap, and...
We have to guess the player, and fantastic. Thank you very much, J to the P. And Lucy from West London, I hope you enjoyed that, because she emailed in earlier saying that her boyfriend can't wait to guess the rap. So, whatever her boyfriend's name is, she didn't say, I hope you got that one. It was Alan Smith. Brentius, you got it. Well done, Brentius.
Two in a row. 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row? Superstar.
He knows Jermaine Pennant, doesn't he?
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it is Brentius. Maybe it's not even Jermaine Pennant. Right, just to recap, the accumulator we're going to be doing today, as we do, we pick out some teams every week. This week we picked out some leagues and had to guess two games from those leagues. The games, League 2, I predicted Northampton would beat Burton and Notts County would beat Barnet. Brendan from the League 3 in Scotland predicted that East Stirling would beat Stranraer, Livingston would beat Queen's Park. Brentius from the Championship in England, Sheffield Wednesday to beat Plymouth, Cardiff to beat Doncaster. So if you're doing an accumulator this week, maybe go for the OnFM accumulator.
I just wanted to add that if you want a big bet over the weekend, then do Manchester United to beat Arsenal.
No thanks, Pete. From two Arsenal fans, we don't want that one. Right, well, Pete, enjoy the game today. Enjoy the Queen's Park Rangers game. Brentius, enjoy your weekend, and you, Brendan. Don't forget, we'll be here next week. From 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock on FM, you can listen at 101.4 FM, or you can listen online at our website, www.onfmradio.com. If in the week you'd like to get in contact with us, it's the football show at onfmradio.co.uk. And we look forward to seeing you all next Friday night at O'Riordan's. Don't forget, next week from 10.